The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We are on our way to Phoenix, getting ready for Super Bowl 49. And, of course, before we get there, we got to get all these football talk straight, all this Deflategate talk straight. And this morning, all eyes were on Gillette Stadium. And I mean all eyes. Our numbers on Patriots.com were going through the roof. All the news outlets carried Bill Belichick live.
Stole it
from us.
It
was unbelievable. Media workroom was packed. There's barely room for Andy's head in there. But
it was as full as I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I think this was the biggest press conference I've ever attended.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those Super Bowl State of the Union.
Oh, yeah.
Packed into one of these rooms here at Gillette, either one of the three workrooms we've used.
Yeah.
It was massive.
Yeah.
More than 24 cameras, I counted. And to the point where there were multiple outlets, like some of them would have the main camera down the back and then a second guy to shoot side shots. And
right.
The CBS woman had her own camera. Because when she asks a question, the camera's on her, even though she never got her question out. She got beat up by Dan Housley. Victory for the local guy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Bill Belichick addressed the media, had a statement, basically. There were questions, but none of them were answered. They weren't. I mean, really, right?
No. Yeah. And he told you he wasn't going to answer them at the end of his statement
when
he said, I have nothing else to say.
Right. You know, if someone wanted to talk about the Seahawks, I'm sure he would have opened up. But
no one did.
But the opening statement, I think, was a good one. I think. To me, it's believable. I said yesterday, I didn't think Belichick had any knowledge of this. I still don't. I don't think he cares about the condition of the football going into the game. I don't think that's on his radar. And he said he was shocked on Monday to hear that this investigation was going on. So now Tom Brady will be talking at 3:45. That's a change. He was going to talk tomorrow. Now he's talking today, and we'll see what he has to say. But
And Bill definitely put some of it on Tom's plate to ask him. I don't know enough about it. We do. I've become more aware in the last 3 days that, yes, quarterbacks and receivers have their own things. And Tom, you ask Tom, basically.
And, you know, I'm sure it already has been resurrected, a quote that Tom said kind of jokingly in 2011, about Gronk spiking the ball, and he's like, I love it because I like the ball soft, and he makes him soft when he, you know, I'm paraphrasing, makes him soft when he spikes it. So that's on record that he says I like softer balls, footballs, so that Andy doesn't laugh.
Bill did that. Bill had to make sure he said footballs a couple times, not slip up.
So we'll see what he has to say, but I think that's going to be the end of it. I really do. And I said it yesterday. If you're a Patriots fan, you're relieved. If you're not, nothing. That Bill said today, or Brady will probably say later today, is going to change your mind. So it is what it is. Embrace the hate. Let's go down to Phoenix. Let's win the game, and they'll hate us even more, and fine. That's great.
It's not the end of it, because Super Bowl week. I mean, You have a lot of media at Super Bowl week.
Oh, yeah, but
and unlike
no
here,
new news will come out.
Yeah, that may be, but he'll be asked. They'll be asked.
Yeah, but
and
nothing...
unlike here, he can't leave. He doesn't decide when it
That's
ends.
True.
It's a timed
That's true. This will hang
conference.
Over Super Bowl.
Right.
But
okay.
nothing new is going to come out of it.
Yeah, it does feel like it's going to get wrapped up today.
I think so.
Which I think is good for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the haters maybe won't be happy, I guess, but... Nobody wants to have a whole Super Bowl week that has nothing to do with the game and every question. And, you know, last night Russell Wilson was asked about it and Richard Sherman was asked about it. It would be nice to, as you said, talk a little bit about the game and the matchups because I do think this has the potential to be a pretty fun football game.
I do, and we've had a couple people email, please talk about football today, and we're happy to do it. Unfortunately, the other 500 emails are all about
right.
this, so I don't know what to do here. I just did get an email from Mike in Nova Scotia, said that Schefter just came out with a report, NFL struggling to find evidence. So, I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? Were the balls tampered with after the refs said they were okay?
Well, or were they tampered with at all?
Well, look, if they were tampered with before, I have no problem
that's
with that.
That's not tampering, though.
Right.
That's just
right.
you presented
and
balls
think,
that they need
Andy,
to make.
I think you're 100% right. I think at the time they checked them, they put their thumbs on them and said they're okay.
Right.
I think that's it.
I do, too.
I think that's it. And now
and
the
I think
league,
it's probably going to change, and now there's going to be a logbook where you say
right.
ball 7 was 13.7
they will change the protocol.
And sign it.
Right.
But I think this was probably done the way they've done it previously.
Right.
Haphazardly or whatever, nonchalantly, but I think there's probably a lack of definitive what's happened before the game,
right.
what all that.
And, you know, so I think that's what it comes down to.
See, I think the lack of definitive is that they have no proof that the Patriots did anything to the balls after they were checked.
Right.
That's the lack of definitive.
So right. you would need a video or something? I mean, is that what we're saying?
Or some kid admitting it.
Yeah. My guess is that if someone doesn't cop to it, how's the league going to be able to prove
See,
that?
See, if I were Goodell as the badass, I would say you're guilty. If I know for a fact they were 12.5 apparently is what the Patriots start with. Belichick kind of let that out in his press conference.
Yeah, right. And didn't know anything
he's going
it.
To increase it moving forward, so there's more of a window.
Yeah, that's one part I disagree with. He shouldn't have said that.
I agree. But if they knew specifically with a signed log sheet what every ball was, and then they tested them again at halftime and every ball was down 2 pounds and the Colts balls weren't down, to me that's evidence that something happened. I would see that as evidence. I'm sorry.
To me, it's evidence that the refs didn't check it properly to begin with.
No, I just
it's not
said,
evidence of that.
I just said if they have
right.
definitive starting point of 13.5 or 12.5, for sure, Walt Anderson signed, sealed, delivered, stamped it with his whatever. I guess apparently he has a cool mark he puts on the ball. It's a
it's like a lightning,
a lightning
bolt, or
bolt WA. That's a lightning bolt. But if I know that, and I know at halftime all the Patriots' balls went down 2 pounds and the Colts didn't, I think you're guilty.
Yeah.
To me, I don't need the video of a kid sticking a needle in a ball. You took possession of the balls on your sideline, and only yours got deflated. You're guilty.
I would
now,
agree.
That may be circumstantial evidence.
I would agree
I
with you, but
under.
I think it does fall under circumstantial evidence.
Well, then you
evidence.
Should be able to do everything as long as the camera doesn't catch you, basically.
Yeah, well,
and as
mean,
long as you don't admit it later.
But in a lot of ways.
That would also be, if a ball boy admitted to it, I guess that would be a
But Andy, that's true in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but this
the
isn't.
Burden of proof needs to be.
This isn't a court of law. This is a court of the NFL.
He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
Well, I mean, we've seen that time and time again. He can rule any way he wants. It's not in the league's best interest to do anything to the Patriots.
No,
can
but
we all agree on that? You have
yes,
the Super Bowl coming up in 10 days.
Especially the week before a Super Bowl.
It's not in the league's best interest to have this hanging over them. And
I don't know.
In.
I really have no answer for that.
But I agree with Andy. If Walt Anderson will swear up and down on a Bible that I used a pressure gauge on every one of these balls and – then Goodell would have reason to.
I think so too.
Enough circumstantial evidence to do a penalty.
Because this isn't a court of law where I need to prove that the gun and the bullet and the this and the that.
But
I think if that's true, if he did use a pressure gauge, they still wouldn't be investigated. This would have been wrapped
up already.
I agree.
Well, that's what I said. It should have been done.
I think the fact
right
that,
after the game.
The fact that if Schefter is what he's saying, they're struggling to find evidence is true. They didn't use a pressure gauge to begin before.
That's
the
how
game.
I feel.
That's,
I think the referees.
That's the problem.
Were sleepwalking through their job.
Right.
Like they've done.
Like they
like every
do.
Other one has always done.
Yep.
The guy in Seattle at 3 o'clock probably slept.
And you know why
through.
They do that? Because it's not that big an effing deal.
Well, that's the problem, though. You can't have black and white rules and then say it's not a big deal. And that's why the other day I said you need to expand the range of legal ball PSI.
Or change the protocol.
No, just expand the range.
Well,
if most quarterbacks one above or one below.
As soon as they expand the range, somebody will.
Well, but then, listen, I'm going to give you a bigger range. You have more leeway. Kind of like raising
the speed
limit.
And make the penalty higher.
Listen, right now I allow you to go 75 and I don't give you a ticket. Listen, we're raising it to 75, but if I catch you going 78, you're getting a damn ticket.
Fair. Fair
enough.
You know
what I mean? We're giving you more rope, but if you take more than that, I'm hanging you with
it. Fair enough, but you have to make that clear.
So, listen, we're going to expand it. It's now 11 to 14 or whatever is a reasonable.
Right.
And they're all reasonable men. I think they can come up with a range.
Right.
Expand it. Because the bottom line is, I want the quarterback to throw the ball well. I don't want him being unable to do his job. I want everybody to put a competitive game out there.
That's
do you think Richard Sherman wants to win because Brady, the hand slips? Or Richard Sherman wants to win because he's better than Tom Brady? Right? I don't think he necessarily wants to, oh, I picked off a pass on a slipped ball. No, he wants to cover the guy like a blanket, pick it off, and jam it down their throat.
So I agree with that. I mean, if that's the solution they come up with, that's fair to me.
Right. It's like my belief that everybody should take drugs.
That's, either you do that or you keep it the way it is, but you improve the protocol so that,
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah. But I guess you can't, if a ball boy on a sideline during a game wants to do this, there's no stopping him, I guess,
Right. But then at least you know where it came from.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I mean, the starting point, what happened, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Because the other issue is, and we talked about this yesterday, the only place I've seen it really reported is Jerry Austin did indeed tell Mike and Mike in the morning that it was, according to his sources or knowledge, the Colts' balls were tested and were fine. The Patriots' balls, his knowledge was all 12 failed, 11 were 2 pounds or more, like significantly below.
Yeah.
But he has reported that the Colts' balls were tested at halftime and were still in the legal range of 12.5 to 13.5. I don't know how he knows that. That's another issue here, by the way, I think, personally. All these officials, there's a lot of them that still collect paychecks from the league as, like, consultants and this and that, and then are out doing media as
experts.
Do you work for the league or do you work for the media? So there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there, which allows them, I guess, to have better sources to do their media, but I'm not sure the league necessarily wants that.
Yeah, I don't have the answers. I just look at this as I find it hard to believe that they could come up with any definitive proof short of someone admitting to it. And I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, if they're looking for definitive proof, then they're never going to find it because you're not. I mean, you can scour
and I really don't. I mean, it's similar to, the whole thing with, the video and with Ray Rice. They don't want to see it. They don't want to find it. So I don't think they're going to find it. And I think it's almost impossible even if they did want to find it. But I really don't think that they're looking all that hard because I think it would overshadow the game. And I think that's the number one thing for the league right now is to make sure the Super Bowl stays intact.
Well, see, that's where you at. What was the question? How'd you phrase it? Do you want them to do something to the – does the league want to do something to the Patriots or whatever?
I don't know
the answer to that. I'm not a public relations expert.
I certainly wouldn't. If I were Goodell, I wouldn't want to do something to the Patriots and possibly affect the game.
Yeah, I really don't know.
I think if this –
I don't know what the public outcry is.
If this proof he has to do something. If this proof he has to do something. And we know they've been here.
I'm like Andy, though. I don't need proof to know something happened. I think you're being a little bit a stickler for a court of law.
Smoking
here.
Gun.
I mean.
I don't need proof that the balls were underinflated. But if the balls were underinflated when the refs tested them, I could give a damn.
Oh, I agree.
So then you just don't believe that they were checked.
I don't properly. Yes, you're right. But I believe that they were checked the same way they check them for 99% of the games.
I don't.
I kind of agree with
you. Like this VIP stripper's just email, perhaps the refs didn't notice a deflation because they deal with so many balls underinflated and overinflated during the season.
Oh, I think there's a possibility that there's a variance
On the field, they wouldn't know. I'm talking about before the game. 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game, I believe that they were checked.
I do, but not with a pressure gauge.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Well, then they have the proof in my mind.
Yeah.
Because they checked them at halftime.
Did they write it all down? Like, can they definitively say that the decrease in pressure was not just normal wear and tear? Like, they were all checked out, they were in the range.
If the Colts didn't?
Maybe the Colts started at a higher level. I don't know.
No, they were exactly the same.
What?
According to Jerry Austin, the Colts' balls did not change.
No, but they. What Paul's saying is before
so how
the
do they
game,
know? Whoa, whoa, whoa,
maybe
whoa. So how do they know that if they didn't check them?
What do you mean?
How do they know the Colts' balls were exactly the same if they weren't checked with a gauge? They checked them with a gauge at
Jerry
halftime.
Jerry Austin is reporting that they were checked pregame.
Right.
They were in the range. They were checked halftime. The Colts were still the same, and the Patriots right. weren't.
But
my,
saying,
my
how
question
they
is, how do they know that
they
the Colts' balls were in range if they didn't use a gauge before the game?
Right, I know. That's why I'm
I
saying.
I think they used a gauge.
But I'm not taking Jerry Austin as the
right.
Bible.
I know.
They're covering
that's
their
what this all comes
Paul.
Down to, Andy.
They're covering
it's,
their
it's ass. Which reports people believing?
Right. Well,
that's
the
all.
Final report is the NFL's. Is the that's, only one that matters.
That ain't
the
mine.
Mueller report.
That ain't mine. I just saw a Ray Rice thing come down that I don't believe their report.
But it's the only one
so
that
I'm not
matters.
Just going to pick and choose the ones from the NFL that I believe.
But I don't know if Austin has good enough sources. I don't know how close he is with Walt Anderson. Maybe Walt Anderson say, oh, of course I tested him. I test him every week when Walt Anderson knows he didn't test him properly.
That's certainly possible.
So I don't believe anybody
And that's
ever.
Why I don't think that they can do it.
But
because
I don't know.
Everything that you just said is 100% true. It's all certainly possible. And no. I'm with you guys 100%.
But it's also certainly possible that even if you didn't write it down, that Walt Anderson tested him with his little pressure gauge and they were all perfect. And, you know, the guys were watching him, whoever his assistants were, blah, blah, blah. That's
right.
certainly possible. And I agree. Even if he didn't write it down, if he certifies that he did it, you know, I'll swear on a Bible, Raj, I checked him. Then that's evidence to me. I don't need the picture of a kid with a needle.
But what I don't dismiss, and again, what you said is right, anything is possible. I don't dismiss them going to Walt Anderson and saying, listen, this is what we're going to do. Did you check him? Yeah, I checked him. Well, we're going to say that maybe you didn't do it as thoroughly as maybe you should have. Because that's going to make us all look better. I don't put anything past them.
And then it gets into that whole other crap about, you know, were they told not to? Were there any proclamations by the league in the whole Vikings-Panthers thing after that? Don't alter the balls, blah, blah,
when,
blah.
When Bill Belichick
or,
says
or
he,
like the first time that supposedly the Patriots, the Colts accused the Patriots of it in November. And then, you know, the second time around they said, well, we don't need to check them. There's nothing here. I mean, I find it hard to believe. That's
when,
all.
When Bill Belichick says he was shocked on Monday to find out about this, I think what he was talking about, he was shocked that they're doing an investigation on this. This is ridiculous.
No, falling in line with the rest of it, he didn't know anything about it.
Right.
About the investigation.
The first he had heard of any of this
was Monday.
Was Monday.
Which flies
said.
In the face of our
little theory
that
he
ran up
he
the score because he was pissed that they complained.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, maybe Brady got wind of it, and he just called an audible. I don't know. I don't know. But
really, I do like the fact that now everybody's like now wondering, is Brady the brains behind the operation? Is Brady the one who pulls all the strings? Brady decides the ball pressure. Brady's calling audibles
well, I can
to run
tell you,
scores.
3:45, our numbers are going to be flying again on Patriots.com because everyone's going to be, you know, watching this with bated breath.
How do you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to do fine.
Now, We talked about it. I thought Bill hit a home run in his presentation. The message, I'm not sure how I liked certain factors of the message, the specifics of 12.5,
yeah.
putting numbers
yeah,
on things.
Yeah, to me, that was unneeded because unless they change the rules, I'm just going to do, you know, our team's going to do what it has been doing.
But does anybody, and I didn't see it on Twitter necessarily, I thought Bill handled it visually, audibly, emotionally, as well as he could have. I was impressed. And now going back to the Hernandez one, I've now realized he can own a room when he wants to own a room in a certain way.
He's a freaking smart guy.
But just because you're smart doesn't mean you have the social and emotional abilities to own a room. He owned the room this morning. I can see how he could own a room with players in a team meeting. He owned the room in the Hernandez press conference. I thought he delivered it in a way in which it worked. So I thought he nailed it from that perspective this morning. It's the message I'm a little lukewarm on how well it was crafted, I guess mm-hmm. I'd say. You know how they do it after post, you know, political
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Well, this was good, but whoever the speechwriter who said to say that was, that wasn't a good idea. And he did have notes, by the way. He had a one sheet, talking points, notes, whatever they were. I mean, I didn't see specifics, but because this was a big deal. And I thought he played it off in a way that he didn't know, but it was a big deal. And, you know, he doesn't want this attached to their legacy. And
you know, a couple people said they noticed, one, that Randy Moss guy in NFL.com and somebody else locally felt that they felt his voice was tremoring at some point, kind of breaking up. And whether it was from, like, you know, you know, not from being emotionally enraged or, you know, almost to the point of crying, but they felt that there was some type of tremor in his voice. I thought it maybe a little bit, but not that much.
I didn't really notice it that much.
Yeah. So, no, I think he handled it well. The only part I didn't like was going into the, you know, from now on, we won't do it at the low end.
Yeah,
we'll do it at the higher end just so we aren't in this position again.
Yeah.
To me, if you didn't do anything, it's the refs that put you in the position. Didn't do anything.
But no one put you – the refs didn't do anything. If they were at 12.5 like he says, the refs didn't do anything either.
But you're skirting with it because who knows how they could become deflated during the game.
But that's not illegal.
I understand. That's why I wouldn't have said anything.
Exactly.
Right.
But it doesn't make any sense what he said.
Right. That's why.
That's not what they're accused of.
That's exactly why I wouldn't have said anything. I wouldn't have said anything.
Isn't there, if everybody, we have all our Nova Scotian scientists or whatever in Canada, wouldn't it go the other way? What if you put the air in them at 13.4 in the locker room and go to Miami and leave the air conditioning and it goes up to 119
right. Now
on the field?
Now you're too hard.
Now.
Okay, see, you know, I'm trying to, you know, yeah. But you're right.
Right? Isn't that a possibility?
Of course it is. It goes the other way, too.
Right.
This is just going to end up blowing over. It's going to be
the more we talk about it, the more I realize this is nonsense.
Well,
it's because it's the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can make the case that Bill earned this. Okay.
Sure.
But it's because it's the Patriots and Bill Belichick that this is a big deal.
Well, it's also because it's the Super Bowl.
That doesn't help.
You know, you're playing – everything this week gets magnified by 10.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, people are going to care more about Brian Stork this week than ever Brian Stork thought in his entire life.
Absolutely.
This is the Super Bowl, damn it.
Yep.
Biggest game in the world.
Speaking of that, and we'll throw a little football in there, I saw Mike Reese had a small thing that had the Patriots been able to practice yesterday, Brian Stork would not have been able to.
He did not practice on the injury
report.
The
Patriots issued a
practice. Earl Thomas did not practice.
Yeah. Patriots issued a practice report yesterday. I guess they had to.
Yeah. But they've done that before when they've had to, and they issue a projection. And he did not practice on the projection. But Earl Thomas did not practice in reality, and Richard Sherman was limited. Mm. But he said he could slap his brother.
Right. Sherman said he's good. He's well enough to slap his brother, whatever that means.
No idea.
I think you guys are being a little harsh on him, by the way, continuing to see that.
No,
hit.
But you know what?
His whole elbow went the wrong way.
I actually like Richard Sherman as a player.
I don't like him, but I like the player.
I like him, too. I think his mouth, though, does cross over to unsportsmanship at times.
Yes.
But he's even admitted that. He says he's toned
talked
that
about
down.
It yesterday.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
toned
yeah.
it down. Every time he makes an interception, he goes and yells at the guy
that's
he's covering.
True.
He did it again Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think he can help himself. I think that's just who he is. He's
I agree.
Just, you know, he's loud and proud.
And I don't like him.
Yeah. I don't dislike him, but I'm going to be on him all week for the next 2 weeks.
I don't dislike him, but I'm just going to let him know now.
Absolutely. I'm going to be on him.
The douche is Marshawn Lynch.
See your boy Jeff Gordon retiring, huh?
Yeah, after next year.
Yeah.
Rainbow Warrior.
All right, let's get to the phones. Listen. Open field here. If you want to talk about footballs, okay. If you want to talk about football, that's even better. So let's go to Toso in Rhode Island. Hey, Toso.
Hey, fellas. What's going on?
What's up?
Nothing much. All right. I know. Were you guys actually at the Bill Belichick's press conference live?
Yes.
All right. Remember when he said, "It's unfortunate that we had to talk about this after two good wins."
Yes.
Yo, I swear to God, at that point right there, that just made me feel like we're going to win the Super Bowl. Because when he said that and, like, when he was looking at all the people, I just felt like he was so mad and upset that, like, someone is trying to discredit our wins just because of this stupid football stuff. And now he's just going to urge his team even more.
Yeah.
And this is just all playing into the story.
And that could have been the tremor that some people heard in his voice was just being enraged.
There is no question that on some level he legitimately feels bad that I'm going to use my guy just because he's like James Devlin played his ass off all year, had a touchdown in that game, you know, all that. And now the only story is the inflated balls and they're taking away from that. And there's no doubt in my mind that he legitimately is upset by that.
Yeah.
Now, whether that can transcend and carry over into us against the world and they're just going to be frothing at the mouth to come out of the tunnel and kill the Seahawks. I don't know, but I legitimately believe that idea, that tone.
Yeah. And that's just, I mean, I see you see it all the time, and I just feel like he's one of those guys who just brings his team above what they need to be at because he has that willpower to do so.
Well, and I also think
the Jedi Force.
You know, I'm assuming you liked what you saw from him, and he owned the room, I thought. He will own the room in a different way when he presents the message to the players in the team meeting.
Exactly.
And however he chooses to pose this, use this, whatever it is, he will do it in a way that, my guess, will be successful. Now, they still have to execute. That
sure.
doesn't mean anything, but they still have to execute.
True.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Koso.
I just, all right.
You got something?
Can I ask one question?
Sure, one more. Yep.
Yeah, I was just, for the Seahawks, because I really feel like it's Russell Wilson we have to worry about. A lot of people are saying, oh, Marshawn Lynch, yeah, he's probably going to get his yards, but I really feel like our biggest problem in that game is going to be worrying about Russell Wilson having a run because our linebackers are going to have to cover that. And not only are they going to have to do that, but our weakest point is them covering in the middle of the field, the tight end. So
I think, don't you think, though, that this is a game where the Patriots have to dare Wilson to throw? I think you have to.
Yeah.
I think you're right, but I think Marshawn Lynch is a big part of that. I think you have to load up to stop him,
but it's not
or
just,
else you're never going to get the ball back.
But it's not just the throwing. If you're so focused on stopping Marshawn Lynch, that's where he gets those big plays on the run. That's where Chandler Jones gets sucked down on Marshawn Lynch, and all of a sudden, Russell Wilson's running 30 yards down the sideline.
Well, I just think
you,
overall,
Fred.
You got to stop them running.
You got to stop
Wilson,
and you got to stop Lynch because
Dan
you got to get him in long yarded situations to prevent them from being able to do that stuff.
Right.
If it's third and one, then he's going to do that all night.
Right.
What Andy's talking about.
Right.
I'm a little concerned about Wilson as a runner.
I am too,
because I've seen Chandler Jones too many times get sucked in and faked out by some of those things, and that concerns me a little bit.
Yep. So, all right, Toso, thank you.
I do not think Seattle can flat out throw the ball to win this game.
No.
I do not.
Yeah.
So if you can be good against the run, both of them, the combination of Lynch and Wilson, I think you'll win the football game.
Eric's in New Jersey. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how we doing, fellas? I just want to talk about the Super Bowl, pass all the ball stuff. But now, how do you think we got, like, what it would be an offensive game plan to attack Seahawks? I mean, I don't see us trying to again run the ball 40 times, but I also don't see us trying to run the ball 50 times. I think we've got to be some balance, but we're gonna wing one side or another. So, how do you guys think our attack?
I think you don't always want to put it on the offensive coordinator, but I think this is a big game for Josh McDaniels. He's got to keep multiple. He's got to keep the Seahawks on their heels by mixing it up, not knowing what's coming and when.
I would run the ball some. I thought Eddie Lacy found some nice room to run last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's look at, you know, last year's Super Bowl. You're in shotgun, snap over your head, they're already frothing at the mouth. Or the Patriots-Giants Super Bowl. Pressure, end zone, all of a sudden you throw it away. You know, how about you take it to them? How about you say, we can run on these guys? Now, they didn't allow teams to run on them during the regular season. I think it was like 3.3 or 3.4 per carry.
Yeah.
But Eddie Lacy, and I think they would. I think Eddie Lacy's a rich man's LeGarrette Blunt. I think they're big backs who aren't overly fast. I mean, aren't overly quick.
Poor man's LeGarrette Blunt?
No, he thinks
I think
rich. Man.
Oh, you
think Eddie
Lacy's
better.
Eddie Lacy's better.
But I think they're bigger, can get big plays, but takes them a little bit to get churning kind of guys. And he found success running on them.
I think Seattle would be more than pleased if LeGarrette Blunt had the day that Eddie Lacy had last week.
Okay, why?
Because they didn't score any points and they didn't get any yards.
So you think if the Patriots get
like
in the red zone, they won't score?
210 yards of offense. Well, that,
if the Patriots run the ball
if
and they
do
kick
what
three
Lacy
straight
did,
field goals,
if
they
do what Lacy did last week, that's what I'm saying.
No.
Yes.
But
I don't think Lacy.
Okay.
I don't think Lacy can beat them. I don't think Lacy could have.
I don't think the Patriots will kick field goal after field goal in the red zone.
No, but they got the ball in the red zone because Russell Wilson threw four picks.
Right.
It wasn't like Lacy ran the ball down the field and they got stalled in the red zone.
He got some nice chunk runs.
He gets some, but not that many.
I think if
he
the
ended
Patriots
up with like 80
get
yards,
those...
I think Blunt can get 80 yards in this game.
Well, I think if Blunt gets 80 yards in this game, you're well on your way to a good offensive game plan.
If Brady throws for 300. Now, Aaron Rodgers didn't do that last week. That's the kind of.
Yeah, I think if Blunt rushes for 80, you're well on your way to having a really good game plan against that defense.
It just depends on the context.
I think you can rush for 80 yards in this game as a team.
I said Blunt.
Well, I mean, Blunt is the guy. Yeah.
But if you rush with Blunt for 80, you're probably going to be over 100, 110 with the rest. You're going to have some other runs.
Well, I'm assuming that Blunt is going to get the bulk of the carries like he has.
But you'll have Shane Vereen with 20 yards somehow.
Yeah, I don't think so.
See, I do. I think those passing sets, you will get some draws.
So
you'll get some plays.
You think you have to run.
And I think you have to rebalance and run effectively.
Don't just drop back and say,
we'll take your best. We know you're a swarming defense, but we're going to – no. I don't have a lot of faith in the offensive line. And, B, anybody who thinks Brady, you know, falls under pressure, even though he didn't do it against the Ravens, don't put him in that position.
No.
Let the play action get going.
But do you think that you're going to be able to just line up and run, or do you have to kind of run out of passing sets, kind of fool them?
No, I don't want to. I'm not looking to fool them. I'm looking to put LeGarrette Blount in there and run the damn football.
See, I don't know if you can, though.
Yeah, I think you can.
I think you have to be. I think you have to be creative this game. And you know, I know we in the past we.
So you think their defense is better than your offense? That they have that advantage.
I think Seattle has a good enough defense where you're just not going to line up and do stuff. I think we have a good enough offense to be creative and kind of overcome that.
See, I think we have a good enough offense to line up and do stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
To run some play action passes and hit Gronk. I think we can run some screens. I think you can run the ball a little bit to set up some of the other things. I think this offense is decent, just like I think their defense is decent. I don't think either is dominant right now. I think at times they have been dominant, but they're not playing dominant football right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think you're capable of going in there and saying, we can play with you. Yeah, we don't have to trick you.
I do agree with Andy in that. I do think they have to try to run the ball a little bit. They can't do what they did the last time they played Seattle and have Brady throw the ball 58 times.
Right.
I don't think that's the formula for success against that defense.
Dan's in Arizona. Hey, Dan. What's up, Dan? Dan.
Danielle.
Too bad. I wanted to talk to somebody from Arizona.
Why?
I don't know.
Can somebody else from Arizona call back? Fred wants to talk to somebody from the Phoenix area.
Andy, what's the number for Arizona? Oh, wait. It's just the regular number.
Right.
Lots of emails, but they're all about
balls.
Balls.
Yeah.
Let's go to Brad. Let's go to Mark in Indiana. Mark in Indiana.
Oh,
hey,
that's
Mark.
Not fair to Brad.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. Great. What's going on?
I'm just to say right off the bat, I live in Colts country, so being a diehard Patriots fan,
not easy.
I've heard everything under the sun. So, like these last few days, my Facebook's been turned off because I think you guys can agree with me. It's turned into a witch hunt. Like the fact that it's the Patriots that got caught doing something, everybody's going after them. If it was the Dolphins that did it, they'd look the other direction. But moving on from that, I was listening to what you guys are saying about the Super Bowl. I honestly think it's going to be one of the best games ever played because you have an offense that can win any possible way on either side, a defense that has a secondary that is not to be messed with. You don't toy with either side. I like Richard Sherman as a player. He's cocky as hell as an off-the-field guy, but him and Earl Thomas, Chancellor, those three right there, if I wasn't Tom Brady or any other quarterback, I would not, you know, be like, all right, I'm going to toy with you because they're going to make you pay every single down. And I'm actually really excited for the Super Bowl because I'm going to say it right now, it's not going to go over 30. It's going to be under 30, and it's going to be within 10, maybe a touchdown or a field goal because each team's going to just take what they can get. If they're in the red zone, they're going to try to punch it in. But I honestly think our run game is not something to be messed with because LeGarrette Blount, that man put three touchdowns up, yes, in a controversial game. But then the year before, he did it to the same team that knew how he runs, but yet he still overpowered them. That says something that I think in his style of playing. He's a guy who, whenever he hits that hole, he's not stopping. He's hitting everything that moves.
Against the Colts.
Yeah, he's physical. Like, there's one down.
What he's done against the Colts? And they've all done. I mean, Jonas Gray did it against the Colts. What does that have to do with what he can do
against
Seattle?
What did he do the next week against Denver last year?
I mean is that LeGarrette Blount, he's not going to let some big, bad defense decide how he's run.
Need blockers. Even LeGarrette Blount needs blockers.
I mean, nobody is claiming that he's going to turn up. We've seen games where the Patriots' run game has not been
effective. No, I'm claiming he could get tackled at the line of scrimmage.
I agree with Andy that they're going to need to run the ball, but I don't believe they're going to be able to just line up and run.
Is this a Jonas Gray game?
Yes, it is.
I was being a little bit serious just because the one thing you can count on from Seattle is speed and aggressive play. And the one thing you can question with LeGarrette Blount is at times being a little tentative, tiptoeing to the hole, and then once he gets that initial, boom, he's gone, he can make people miss. Your guy, I think, is a fair argument to say he hits the hole quicker. And you, this might be a game where you want to hit the hole quicker.
And as a point of comparison for Andy, what
see,
he just said.
See, I can be open-minded.
Lacy is a little bit more like Blount in that he's a little bit slower. The big run was Starks in that game, who was quicker. I think he had a 32-yard run in that game.
So I was being dead serious,
so
saying this could be a Gray game.
Yeah, but I'm being dead serious.
Because I do think Gray is quicker to the hole. I think Blount is faster, but Gray is
I'm
quicker.
I'm being serious also when I say I don't think he can just line up and run with Gray either. I do think that the Seahawks are that good on defense.
I'm not as afraid of their run defense as you people are, apparently.
All right.
I'll see if I can line up and run against them. It's big boy football.
Well, I'm going to try it, but I'm going to have a contingency plan.
I'm not going to do it 40 times and say, by the fourth quarter, I'll wear them down and I'll win.
I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe you're giving too much credit to Seattle, but my feeling is more about what I've seen the Patriots do against defenses that can stop the run, less so than about Seattle.
Right.
I don't think that they've generally run the ball really well against teams that are pretty decent against the run.
Right.
The Colts, they'll bludgeon them to death.
Let's go to Brad in Maine. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Yeah, real quick. We'll talk about this late gate and we'll move on. But I'll tell you, it's the same thing for me, man. Everyone knows I'm a diehard Pats fan. In the last couple of days, we'll just put it this way, it's a quality of life issue because people just, man, the same thing. My Facebook was blowing up. People were busting me on Twitter. I mean, I was getting it from all different angles. My friends, you know, calling me up, giving me crap. So I'm ready to move on from it. So either way.
Listen, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about that, Brad. Just embrace the hate.
Exactly.
Fred Kirsch has been saying for years, don't let Jerry Thornton take credit for embrace the hate. Jerry Thornton has tried to steal that. That is Fred Kirsch's.
Now, anyone can have it. We're all Patriots. We are all Patriots.
I kind of agree, man. I think we got to at least run the ball a little bit. I'm not saying we got to run into a wall, but, I mean, I think that Green Bay showed with a similar, you know, stable of backs that they can be run on. I don't think that, you know, I think that we should at least, you know, start with that. Another thing that I think, too, I mean, it really depends on the health of their secondary, but, you know, I really don't think that Russell Wilson and his receivers match up like, you know, like ours do. I don't think they're going to throw a ton on us, you know what I mean? I think we have a good enough secondary, so we should be able to contain that a little bit. My biggest fear is Marshawn Lynch going beast mode and just running us over. You know what I mean? I'm a little worried about that. But as far as our offensive game plan, and I know, Andy, you're going to side with me on this, they have given up a lot of touchdowns to tight ends, and we have the best one in the business. So,
yes.
You know, I think we should be chucking the ball to Rob Gronkowski over the middle early and often.
Agreed. Yes. What was the stat Tony Maz tweeted out? 11 of 17 touchdowns
right, but they
tight
don't, end? See, that's the thing is they don't give up any touchdowns.
Thanks,
right.
Brad.
The ones that they do give up are to tight ends.
Right. Well, we have the best tight end. Nate Solder, as I'm watching TV, I thought it was Gronk running down the field. It was Nate Solder.
Nice.
Dan the Byman writes in, this is so disrespectful for other people who played the game because this deflate thing. If the Patriots want to make a statement, one, they need to win the game, perhaps win big. Two, they need to come out of the tunnel during introductions as a team with each player holding a football and spike it when they get on the field. That should show all the haters what Patriots are. With that said, do you think the Seahawks front D is stout to shut down the Patriots' running game? That's what we're talking about.
Statistically,
right now,
they were a good run. As I said, I think it was 3-4 they allowed per carry during the season. But we saw them allow some runs last week. They're not a massive defense in terms of size. So I think you can run on them. I could be dead wrong. And Josh McDaniels may not agree with me one bit, and he might come out and spread them and shred them and go with that.
That's what I think he's going to do, and I think that will be a mistake.
Mark in St. Louis has a bizarro take on this whole thing. He says, what are the odds that Bill leaked the story about the balls being underinflated just to stir the pot?
I've heard that.
Is it a fact that the NFL has found any evidence against this? Just saying.
No, he didn't know about it.
So that would fly in the face. He can't leak it if he doesn't know about it.
Right.
He didn't leak it. He didn't know about it.
You know who
first
I blame?
He heard of it.
You know who I blame? Giselle.
Oh, yeah?
I've always thought she held Brady's balls in a drawer anyway.
It's not even funny.
No.
Oh, come on, that's good.
Close. Not even close.
You should know, not funny.
Ethan says, if we win the Super Bowl, will Brady,
not
go,
funny.
Will Brady go up to Sherman and shout, you mad, bro, at him? I would love to see him do it to Sherman. Too much class by Brady. He won't do that.
You're right. You know why he won't? Because it'll be when the cameras are now on and he won't do it.
Right.
He'll do it during the game. He'll sneak it in there.
He did it during the game when no one was watching.
Right. He'll sneak it
and
in there.
Sherman exposed him.
Brady's no dummy. He has a finely crafted brand and Q rating and all that crap.
And that's why, you know,
And that's why Sherman's right, because we know for a fact he's a potty mouth on the field. He yells at people. He's a trash talker. He says a lot of things. But he's not going to allow that to become TB12, because TB12 is a totally different personality brand.
It's a lifestyle.
Right.
Jamal from Maryland says, I read that a ball boy from the Chicago Bears was interviewed, and he said that oftentimes the officials test the balls with their hand without using a gauge. I honestly believe that the refs did not properly check the balls before the game. Aaron Rodgers said his team often overinflated the balls beyond specifications before the game, and sometimes the balls still passed inspection.
Yep.
Nothing will come of this.
That's what I would say if I were.
See, I agree that nothing will come of it. I just don't agree with the rest of it.
I would say I'm exactly what Aaron Rodgers did. I like my balls a little softer. Occasionally they go in soft, and if they don't take care of them, that's not my fault.
Dominic says, I can't stand how we look because of this. I think we have to win the game to be taken seriously. Dominic, it won't matter if we win.
You're
They're still going to hate us.
I agree with
nothing
you.
Changes. Haters going to hate.
Yep. So just obviously hope they win. But accept the hate after they win, too, because they're going to hate us even more.
Everybody's holding on to this belief that if they win, it'll all go away.
No, it's going to be worse.
Has anybody done a parody yet? Like, that's the song of the year, one of the most popular songs of the year, that haters going to hate. So, like, I feel like somebody, is that Fitzy guy or one of those comedians, should do a Patriots parody of that.
Well, speaking of Patriots,
one of those, one of those really funny guys?
Mr. Lift's on the phone right now. Hey,
maybe
Mr.
he should
Lift.
Do it.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good.
Hey man, I've been listening, and of course, and I've heard a lot of good points made about the running game. But you guys might want to go and check the facts on this. I believe that the Patriots have never won a Super Bowl in which they've had less than 100 rushing yards. So please go and check the facts on that. You know,
okay.
I mean, I could be wrong. I think that the running game is absolutely crucial. I think that LeGarrette Blount is a great running back when it's against teams that we can run on, like you guys said. You know, if it's the Colts or the Bills, he's an all-star. Against other teams, I've seen him be a dud. I think that he's lost a fraction of something in terms of his first or second step to the hole. He is definitely slower to the hole than, say, a Jonas Gray. You know, and I think that, yeah, you know, I don't particularly like it when the Patriots have kind of a running back carousel within a game. I do believe you got to get some touches to one particular running back or a couple running backs and let them get a feel for the game, and then hopefully, you know, break the defense down eventually. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the formula is, but I could say that definitely Jonas Gray has a quicker first step, and I'd like to see him at least get a chance in this game.
I agree, Mr. Liff, with everything you said, and for that reason, I think that's why they need to mix it up. I think that they got to keep the Seahawks defense on their heels and not let them kind of get a sense of what's coming. Because when they do, I think they're that good that they're going to just stop it.
And I checked your facts. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that is a little – sir. I mean, I think in general when you win games, you know, the stats are probably in your favor. Plus, I think in the early part of the 2000s, they were a much different kind of offense.
Right.
At Corey Dillon.
They had a run-first offense. They don't have that now.
Yeah,
and they did only come up 93 yards short in Super Bowl 20 against the Bears.
Yeah.
They did have 7 yards.
I saw Andy looking through the media guide, and I saw that he was on Super Bowl 20, and he looked at me, and he started laughing, and I put 5 up. I go, 5 yards? Yeah. He goes, 7.
Amazing. Amazing. And then, fellas, I want to make one other point about this game. I really think that this is kind of the best possible case scenario for the Patriots as far as the game goes. We saw a Green Bay team go into Seattle and make them look extremely mortal. And really, you know, the Seahawks won that game because Green Bay relinquished their control of the game by making very stupid mistakes and being way too conservative. So, you know, what I see here is a Seattle team that, you know, I know it's dangerous to look at people's schedules and, you know, but, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't really see anyone in, like, when they were coming down the stretch toward the playoffs that I would fear in terms of who they beat to gain momentum. Then they played the Carolina Panthers, and, I mean, the Carolina Panthers didn't even have a winning record, and they were in the playoffs. And then they struggled extremely badly against a Green Bay team that, you know, could be deadly at times. You know, we saw how quick that Green Bay offense moves when we played them during the regular season. So I think we got a team, you know, that, yeah, they pulled out a win, but they looked very mortal. A couple of their key defensive players are banged up, and the Patriots are pissed off because of all this chatter about the ball deflation I think that this is just like ripe for another, for that fourth banner to go up, in my opinion.
Love it. I love it. Thanks, Mr. Liv.
Did we learn our lesson about taking down the opponent before the game and dismissing all their accomplishments because of who they played? Didn't we learn that lesson against Baltimore?
Right.
Like, we shouldn't just ignore the fact that they didn't play the same schedule. The Patriots played a very difficult schedule. I don't think there's any question about it. Now, I would say, who did they beat down the stretch to get there? You know, Miami? Jets?
Right.
You know, I mean, now I know they played good team.
They went through that gauntlet.
They beat Denver, and they beat Indy, and they beat and they lost to Green Bay. But those were very difficult games. I don't think Seattle has to, you know, hang their heads for the, no. You know, they play in a very difficult division. That's a good football team.
Let's see. Kareem from the resource management department writes in, to be honest with you guys, I heard rumors about people feeling like burning jerseys that they paid for based on a knee-jerk reaction, and I am not the owner of anything, but if that's their way of dealing with things when faced with a little pressure, we don't need them around as Patriots fans, honestly. Patriots 25-17. I know it's early, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't believe necessarily you want to alienate customers for any reason.
Well, if they're going to burn the jerseys, then they'll just have to buy new ones when we
exactly.
win.
Exactly. What is wrong with you two today? You've been coughing up a storm and like choking
on
yourselves.
I feel like I might not make it through the week. There's no question about that.
It's a good way to head into a Super Bowl week.
Yeah, and I can honestly say I have not been sick for one day of the entire season. And, you know, usually you fight something off it two or three times during the course of the season. I have not felt bad one day this entire season.
Speaking of that, our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, noticed that Bill had a few sniffs in his press conference, which could have been taken as Fred-like sniffs or whatever. But
or maybe he was crying, according to Randy Moss.
Or you could have been making out with him and he,
which Randy Moss?
You know, caught a few germs.
NFL Network.
What are the chances, you know, they're doing all the odds and everything? How, you think by next week he will be full-fledged illness mode after a hard work of game planning for the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Did he have that stretch a while ago? I didn't see it.
Yeah, no.
Is he sick? Do you think he was
sick? No, he just sniffled. Oh. But it could be the early stages of, you know, I'll be up late for 10
But you can tell when he's got something coming. Fred says it all the time. He's got to take care of himself.
He does.
Fred always says
He can't be out in a downpour in a cotton pullover. He's got to have a rain retardant
What do you
outfit.
Think of the whole motivation thing, the motivation angle for the Patriots? That seems to be a big thing now. Oh, they're never going to lose now because now they got their motivation.
Well, I think it might help a little bit with the focus, but I think they would have been prepared anyway.
Yeah. Do you think in 2007 they used the Spygate as motivation and that helped them play better?
During this regular season?
During the regular season.
Yeah, I do. Mm, I think they used it.
Maybe.
It was a rallying cry.
Maybe a little bit in the beginning.
I think it was a rallying cry, but I don't think it helped.
Let's show them we don't have to cheat. Let's show them we're better than that. We'll show them how much we cheat.
Didn't help in the Super Bowl.
Did the Seahawks get anything out of that?
Out of what?
Let's show this team that they don't belong here. They cheated to get here. Let's make sure that we need to try.
All motivation goes out the door when you try to start to execute.
This is my point.
But that doesn't mean they won't use it for some period and portion of the week.
Yeah. Whoever wins will say that that's why.
Like
I get
the Giants
that.
Didn't beat the but Patriots because they wore black suits.
Right. It won't be
I just
want
to let people know they beat the Patriots because their defensive line kicked ass, took names, and controlled the game. Right?
I agree with you. Right. That's
but
why I don't
that
think that Spygate did anything for the Patriots that
got
year.
Got them into a mentality to kick ass, take names, and control the day, then there's a value
but,
to
I mean,
it.
Can Pete Carroll talk to his team and say, you know what, we need to win this game for the league. We need to stand up to the bully who refuses to
the
believe.
The Seattle Seahawks. Did you see that logo?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Seattle Seahawks versus the New England Deflategriots in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
See? I predicted this. Everyone hates us. No, no, no.
And them.
Seattle.
These are two of the
They're
most hated teams
it the,
in the
like,
league.
The hater bowl.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if Seattle is the second most hated team, but they're in the top five.
Sure. Let's go to the phones again. Ace Ticket Hotline. Laurent
like
in Canada.
Do you think there's any polls
What's
on
up,
that?
Laurent?
Strippers, hey guys, can you give me a poll on that?
I got a I just wanted to comment on Deflategate. I was in Canada and Ontario specifically, and Buffalo, like, it's really hard to be a Patriots fan, but I'm okay. I embrace the hate like Fred does. But my point was this, that in 2006, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady actually went towards the competition committee to change the rules on how balls were exchanged. So the two greatest quarterbacks in the last 10 to 15 years went together to do that. That makes me a bit more suspicious about everything else. And the second point was more a question to the Super Bowl. I don't really buy Russell Wilson as this all-star quarterback. And the reason being specific, I kind of think that he has a really, really good defense, and they kind of cover up most of his mistakes. I was just wondering what your opinions on were both of those.
I don't know. He's won some
games. I think he's a dangerous quarterback.
Yeah. I do. I think he gets overrated because he has a great running game and a great defense. We've talked about that with the Wilson versus Luck comparison.
Yeah.
If you flip-flop those and put him on the team that he has to do more,
that's true.
What would he look like? And what would Andrew Luck, who everybody says, you know, he throws too many picks, he tries to take too many chances.
Well, I think he was a winner at North Carolina State. He was a winner at Wisconsin. Did all those teams have great running games and great defenses? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. But, Wisconsin, yes.
Great.
Wisconsin did.
Yeah. And he didn't win that much.
North Carolina State?
He didn't win that much at North Carolina State. But Wisconsin
I thought he did all right. They win
more than they lose, but, I mean, let's face it. What is there? Like,
and no one's saying 78 he's a
teams
stiff.
That go to bowl games?
The question is, has he been overrated because of the team around him? And I would say yes.
In my opinion, and this is
he
one
has
of
to
those,
do what Brady did. There is going
to
be some point where he's going to start to put up stats and numbers and carry the team. When Lynch bitches his way out of town and when the defense starts to struggle, can he do that?
And I don't know the answer to that.
I know Luck can, by the way.
And I'm very impressed.
Luck can do the other.
I'm very impressed.
Luck has to prove, if I put a team around you, will you stop making mistakes, or is that part of you?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with what I have seen from Wilson when he's had to make plays. And
sure.
I think in the Super Bowl last
year. 2-point conversion, I mean.
Well, the Super Bowl last year, I think one of the sort of undersold storylines was all of the third down conversions that he made early in that game with throws. I think he was really on in that game. But to Andy's point, if you're asking my opinion, we don't know because these scenarios haven't developed. I feel like Luck would win every bit as many games as Wilson has with Seattle.
Oh yeah.
I don't feel Wilson would win every game that Luck has with Indianapolis.
Yep.
Now, there's nothing that I have to base that on.
No, but I see what you're saying.
Nothing, because it hasn't happened. And Andy's right. He's going to need to have the opportunity that Brady got. And
he's going
to
get
that defense will get chipped away. It won't be quite as good.
And he'll be making $25 million a year.
Marshawn Lynch isn't going to be around at some point, and he's maybe not going to have the dynamic running game that he has. And can he carry the offense? Can he throw? I mean, I think there's some kind of stat that he's only thrown for 300 yards like five times or something.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Was Lynch that good when he was with the Bills?
No.
What got into him? Skittles. Fred.
Well done.
Skittles.
Freddie, do you want to know what happened in practice, or did you guys?
Oh yeah, sure. There was a practice today. I can't believe it.
Yeah, there was actual football being played, and guess
with those crappy balls that Bill likes them to practice with.
And guess who was actually playing football?
Brian Stork.
Oh, great.
Perfect attendance today.
Nice.
Inside the bubble.
The Bublé.
I was going to say the Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
They had full pads, as they have been doing throughout the playoffs. You get your one day a week to do that. They did that today. And now Stork, obviously, all the offensive line wear those big braces on both knees.
Right.
But in addition, on his right leg, on his right knee, he had it clearly heavily taped underneath.
Kinesio tape?
And he was, I would say, moving 75%, rough guess. Yeah. You could tell there was a slight little limp. It could have been because his knee was so heavily taped.
Right.
But just the fact that he's out there this far in advance of the Super Bowl is very good news for the Patriots.
They got it right. They didn't put him on IR, and he's playing.
That's great.
I think Chris Jones is coming back,
good
too.
Good news.
Yep.
How was the spirit of the team? Could you detect anything?
Not really. There are some days when you can, when there's a lot of, like a Friday practice, there's a lot of joking, hooting and hollering.
Right. Wasn't a whole lot of that today.
Wasn't a whole lot of that today. Yeah. No. It was very
They probably were happy to be out on the practice.
You know who
field.
I think
done they probably were
like
happy to
today?
Be out there?
Vrabel. Hey Tom, can you check this ball for me? He would have done something.
He probably would have done something. That's true.
He would have done something like that.
But no,
because
he's
Mike
me.
Vrabel.
It seemed like it was a pretty serious mood. It's the first of four straight days, and I think the fact that they're the visiting team this year and get to leave on Monday is helpful for them because they get four straight days of practice here at Gillette.
Hay better be in the barn.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it's
is that
it's
what
better
the departure date is
usually
based on, home
yes.
and away?
Usually.
Because I thought
you had your choice.
I thought we had the opportunity to leave on Sunday.
Yeah,
we had to be there by 3 o'clock, and we didn't want to do that.
I don't think it's mandatory.
When I was growing up, I was watching it. The home team would always arrive one day. The visiting team would always arrive the next day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a coincidence, but that's how it always used to play out. I mean, there have been exceptions to that, obviously, but I think traditionally that's how they'd like to do it.
We could have gone on Sunday. I know that for a fact because.
But well, I think they would prefer it if they do it because you get the two teams get their separate days of arrival and the video of them getting off the plane and all that stuff.
And had Bill not already had an issue with the league, maybe we would have gone on Sunday. But he was, you know what? We'll come on Monday.
No, but
we'll
think
be there Friday.
You need us on Monday.
Right. Whatever we can do for you.
And you guys really are geniuses. Anything you geniuses at the league, and I mean that.
I don't always mean it, but I mean it this time.
I mean it this time.
Seriously, though, I think having 4 days at your own facility to practice in advance of getting to the Super Bowl site is helpful because you get to basically put in your game plan now, and then you kind of tweak it once you get there as things unfold. But if you're leaving on Sunday, that's you don't really get, I don't think, a full week of practice without that.
Right.
So I think that's good for them.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's go back to the phones. Doug is in Virginia. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. A couple of thoughts occurred to me about this deflated ball thing. First of all, the Belichick press conference, he kind of painted himself into a corner if, in fact, the league has evidence that can disprove things he said. And it kind of led me to believe that maybe his press conference was more of a statement on the state of the investigation, and he knows that they don't have certain evidence, so he could come out and just kind of lay out there some of the things he laid out there. I'll be curious to hear what Brady says. And another thought I had, let's just assume that they're guilty and punished. The league minimum is a $25,000 fine, which to an NFL team is pennies. So, obviously, it's not that big an infraction, even for a team that is, in quotes, a repeat offender. As an educator myself, a kid that may have gotten in a fight early in the year but then gets caught chewing gum, they're not going to take into account that fight in dealing with the gum chewing.
I agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
Except for the $25,000 thing, because when I tell Fred, that's really just pennies in my review, he doesn't agree.
Yeah, but I agree with everything because I feel like Belichick would not have been as definitive as he was today if he wasn't sure that where the investigation stood. And I do think that Goodell needs to deal with this on an individual basis because I don't think it's a major infraction. And I feel like if you were to say, well, this is the second time we caught you and we're going to suspend you for the Super Bowl, I think that looks just as bad on Goodell as anything.
I'm very, very much hesitant to bring this up, but didn't they do the same thing in the Hernandez trial where the jurors are not allowed to know anything about the other investigation, the Boston one in the first one? Whatever. There's a separate separation there.
Right. The trial is the Odin Lloyd trial.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Not that it's the same thing. I just want to be clear. I'm not making the connection.
According to Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, it's still a pick'em over under of 48.
Okay. I would take the over.
I'll take the Patriots and the over.
All right. Let's go.
We got to do picks today. We got to hurry.
I'm taking Michael Irvin's team.
I'm kidding.
No, the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could take the Irvin team.
No, it's not them this year. It's
It's Michael Irvin and
Chris Carter.
Oh, Chris Carter.
Last year was Deion and Jerry Rice.
Okay. Chuck in Pennsylvania.
Don't
hey, Chuck.
Andy,
I prefer the old
AFC.
Hey,
guys, what's up? I have two things I want to say. First is, I think you guys talked about how if we win the Super Bowl, the talk would actually get worse, right?
No, I just don't think it's going to go away. I don't think it's going to eliminate
the talk.
It's not
the cure.
Okay. Well,
people who think they've done something wrong are going to think they've done something wrong.
Hate is going to hate.
And they're going to wonder what they did wrong in the Super Bowl. Because I got a lot of people that tell me that stuff.
I'm glad they have something to talk about while I'm on Patriots.com buying all my Super Bowl gear.
Right. That's how you should feel as a Patriots fan.
That's fine.
Embrace the hate and
buy
a shirt.
About it.
Okay. Sure, Robert Kraft is very comfortable with you embracing the hate and buying stuff off Patriots.com.
I'm sure he's really happy about that. Another thing. I heard an objective view about this, the whole Deflategate thing. So,
wait, where'd it come from? I want to know if it's objective or not.
It just came from my Eagles fan friend.
Okay.
So we all know that they reinflated the balls at halftime, and we played with the league like official size ball, right?
Well, the report is they used the alternate
balls. The backup balls.
Okay, and they were up to league standards, I'm assuming?
That is the report, yes.
Okay. So if the Patriots – Tom Brady played fantastic in the second half. So
yeah, I don't really understand
this part of it. Is it possible that we are actually the victims here? That's what he said.
Exactly.
I thought it was an interesting view.
I agree.
Set up.
Patriots are the victims.
How are we the victims? I missed it.
I agree.
Because we played worse in the first half with the so-called deflated ball. Then when we got the official balls in the second half, we played better.
Outsmarted by our own hijinks. I agree.
Victim of our own deception.
What?
I don't know. It may be unbiased because it's idiotic.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I mean, a lot of people have brought that up. I don't know what we started this on Tuesday, and here we are on Thursday, and I'm at the same place. I don't know what the deflated ball's impact is on a game. I have no idea. Maybe if the Colts had the opportunity to use a deflated ball, maybe they would have been up 17-7 at the half. I really don't know. Do I think that? No, I don't.
That'd be
I don't
funny.
I don't think it had any impact on the game whatsoever, and I think the Patriots would blow the Colts out 10 out of 10.
But no one has said anything other than that. I have literally not heard a single person anywhere.
But I don't like this notion that it was 17-7 at the half with the illegal balls and 28-0 in the second half.
Those are
the
idiots.
Whole game changes. They're getting killed and they think they're getting screwed. What do you think the mindset was? I mean, you can't do that. It's not the same thing.
But don't you think it would be funny if Luck didn't know anything about this and now he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys changed the air in the ball, and that makes it easier to throw. Like,
you mean I could do that?
Like some initiation period. He hasn't reached the point where they all share the secret with him.
Robert in the negative.
Oh, shoot. That's what he'd say.
Where are you going?
I got EEI.
Boy.
I got to go spread the company word.
Just runs out.
My God.
Week and he's
make sure you open the door before you run out. Don't run into it.
Don't talk about the mood in Foxborough.
Be careful, will you?
I'm going to be.
Don't talk about the mood
in
Foxborough.
I'm not. I learn from others.
Robert in the neighborhood says, I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. I just want to let you know that I appreciate your show. I was anxious that Paul would continue his high horse ride from yesterday. But
I've never been on the high horse.
But he seems like he resisted the temptation. This is the time for you guys to be there for true fans of this great football team.
That's not my job.
Let's talk football and let the haters do the hating.
But I am not on – can I just defend myself for that? I am not on any kind of high horse. I don't believe the balls had anything to do with that football game.
Right.
I don't.
No.
I've never been on a high horse. I understand Eric's point about fair play. I get that. And I also think it's an idealistic viewpoint. People cheat. People cut corners. I also don't dismiss the fact that that's what was what I think happened here. But it's not a high horse. I'm not morally outraged that this could happen. I'm not wondering when I'm going to tell my son about this.
Right.
And if I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw him. You know, tell your son to go clean his room. That's what you got to tell him.
Right.
All right?
Seattle will be a tough matchup. They have Sherman. I don't believe he's injured badly. It's all part of his act. And he'll be looking to shut down Gronk and pick off Brady. But Marshawn Lynch is who I'm most concerned about. If we can contain him, we'll be okay. All in all, I think we have enough weapons to defeat Seattle. As the week progresses, I'll stay tuned, watch the Seattle Packers game again, and I'll have more to share. We are on to Seattle. Let's stay focused. I appeal to Paul to realize that his own poop smells too, and try to give the Patriots some love.
Yeah, again, there's no high horse here. I'm not on any kind of high horse. I just look at it as if it was illegal, it was illegal. I mean, if you run a play, Fred, right, and let's say you used an illegal formation. So the guy that was in the slot on the right side of the formation was up on the line and he should have been in the slot, a step off. And you throw a bomb to the other side for a touchdown, and it gets called back for an illegal formation. Had absolutely nothing to do with the play, right?
Right.
But what happens?
Still against
it's illegal.
The rules. Still against the rules.
So even the most minor infractions have
That's
consequence.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying. This is not – do I think that they should have this stuff? I don't know. I don't know what the deflated ball helps you with. I don't have this information. I'm not an NFL quarterback, and I don't know how much benefit Brady gets from it. But I do know this. They wouldn't do it if it didn't help.
No, it could be a mental thing, but mental things help too. You know, baseball players, they like to scuff up the balls. All the quarterbacks say they do. And like you said, how much does it really help?
I don't know.
Maybe mentally, if they didn't do it, it would hurt more, you know?
Yeah.
It's like in their mind.
There's no high horse. There's no moral outrage. I'm not playing that side of the
Eric's
ball.
Another deal.
I leave that to the Boston Globe op-ed page. The moral outrage and what am I going to tell my children and all that stuff. Belichick should be suspended. I don't believe any of that stuff.
Eric, by the way, is in an olive-colored V-neck. Did you say that's olive?
More like almost like a forest green.
Forest green?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with
but close.
But you're close enough, Fred. Yeah.
You're not colorblind today.
Yeah.
No.
Rob in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Are we getting food?
Yeah.
1 o'clock it was supposed to start.
Yeah, it's 1:05.
Yeah, if I walk down there now, there's going to be 85 people in line.
He looks in. Fred.
I'll go down. Oh, in like
well, you should have been online at 10 up.
You'll be gone for an hour and a half.
All right. Just make sure it's warm when you come back. I'm only kidding. Rob in Ormond Beach, Florida. Stat of the Super Bowl Patriots. They're 11-0 in playoffs, playing teams for the first time that season. 11-0. The Patriots are in the playoffs. Yeah,
that is correct. All of their losses are against teams that they had played earlier in the season.
So we're good, right? Things are good.
They are healthy. They have all their key guys healthy. They don't have any excuse.
Gronk is going to just
Well, they might have an excuse if the other team is better.
No. Right, but I'm saying I think the fact that that all their players are healthy, their key players are healthy, gives them an advantage over the Seahawks.
And I'll tell you this, too, and Eric brought up the excuse angle. It works both ways, too. We're embracing the hate, right?
I am.
Well, that's what the rallying cry is,
right?
And you're spearheading that. If we lose, we can't use it as an excuse. If we're embracing the hate,
no,
we don't care.
Not. No, right? No excuses.
Because you ask 100 Patriots fans why they lost Super Bowl 42.
Which one was that?
2007? First Giants.
Yeah.
98 of them will tell you because John Tomasi wrote that story in the Boston Herald on Friday.
Oh, no, they won't.
Oh, yes, they will.
Some will. But
that's preposterous.
Vast
they lost
majority.
Because the offensive line couldn't.
Absolutely.
And they'll tell you that they weren't focused because they were worrying about this crap.
That's preposterous.
A lot of people believe that, Fred.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the other factors.
And it didn't help, by
the way. I think the pressure hurt them. You know, there were other
things. Yeah, I think
too.
The pressure
was more
the game.
The pressure of the game.
Was much more of a factor.
And
than
the offensive line.
Than any of that
you know,
garbage.
Played like a sieve.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the big thing. Let's go to Keith in Florida. Hey, Keith.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, listen, I emailed you guys yesterday, and I was a little on the fence. I was the one that was agreeing with Paul and everything he said. I kind of chimed in late and didn't realize that you guys all more or less felt the same way. But I, in the light of a new day, there's a pallor test and all this that is just ridiculous to the nth degree. And I stayed up late last night reading every little stupid thing about it, and I finally came to the determination that, and everybody knows it had nothing to do with the victory. That's not even a talking point. But
right. Just
that the whole thing is kind of stupid, and the very, very best we can hope for is that it's all going to be inconclusive, and there's nothing they're going to be able to say about it one way or the other.
I agree.
Accepting the option of some ball boy stepping up and going, I did it, I didn't realize I was being cute with the air pressure or whatever, that's a whole other thing. But listen, I forgot why I called you guys, because I've been on hold for a minute, but I did just think of something in line with the whole mantra of embrace the hate, which kind of has always been our mantra as Pats fans, because there's no way around it at this point, at least for the last 7 or 8 years. Thinking about, you know, my favorite human being on the planet is Terrell Suggs. And what does he always say? What's his mantra? What's his talking point? Whenever they introduce him and his little head pops up before a game, where does he say he went to school?
Ball so hard.
Yes, indeed. So why don't we make T-shirts that say ball so soft? We'll flip the whole ball so hard thing, and that'll be our Patriots Nation embrace the hate slogan. We graduated from ball so soft university.
I think you should just ignore the story altogether.
Thanks, Keith.
I think at this point that might be the best advice of all. I mean, it's been a week almost. It's like 4 days now.
Time to get over
it. Just move on.
We have a game to talk about.
Let's go to Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, so I got a little something to say. Men at 25 play football. Men at 40 play tennis. Men at 60 play golf. Have you noticed that as you get older, your balls get smaller? But on a serious note, I think, you know, I think I can get this situation taken care of. I know somebody that knows a little bit about balls or two. I'm going to call my good friend up, Michael Sam. Maybe he can help us get this thing completed.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Try the veal.
John in Rhode Island. John, representing the great state of Rhode Island.
How we doing, guys? Honestly, I just want to say if this is something that players do, you know, and I'm sure it is, did it help us the first 4 weeks and against Kansas City? You know what I'm saying? So you got to, you know, you got to kind of take the good and the bad. But
maybe
beyond all that, I want to talk about football, which I'm just saying Seattle has no chance against us. All this is the only thing they got going for them because we're going to kill them in all three phases of the game. We got better special teams. We got Slater coming down off the kick. We got Edelman returning kicks. And, you know, that's just in the special teams. Our offense, everybody knows how, you know, he ain't stopping Gronk. No, Richard Sherman plays one side of the field, and that's it. He's not even got anything on Revis.
Playing the role of Paul Perillo is John from Rhode Island.
I don't think Paul said that the Seahawks have no chance.
There's no way they're going to stop Tom Brady. And it's so weird because a week ago everyone was talking about if they feel a little bit of failure. And to me, I've been watching these guys lose forever. I was born in 78. So, to me, if they make it to the playoffs and if they make it to the Super Bowl, they've done great. I don't need more than that. But if they win the Super Bowl, which this year I guarantee they're going to, this is the year that, like, is history in the making. And you should be, like, tuned in and watching that. And now they're taking away from the history that is really going on, which that's the only thing that's killing me about this whole Deflategate, really.
If they hate us, they hate us. Thanks, John. I hope you're right.
What would be the historic part?
Just the Patriots. You know, doing it so often in such a short period.
Well, I think the fact that they would have one
longer period than the Steelers did it.
No, but if they had went it, to win one with the same quarterback 10 years afterwards, is kind of okay. You know, that's
relevant.
That's noteworthy.
That's relevant. I think it's the longest gap between first and last Super Bowl titles for one quarterback. But I keep hearing people say an historic fourth Super Bowl. Other teams have won four Super Bowls.
It's not. Right. Yeah, it's not.
And Pittsburgh won four in a shorter span of time, 6 years.
Right.
And I'm not trying to downplay the accomplishments. It's unbelievable what the
You're
Patriots have done.
Just looking for accuracy.
I'm asking if I'm missing something is what I'm really doing. And Eric brought up the point that we had talked about at least a month ago about Brady does have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl in 2001 and then again in 2014. That's a big gap. That's impressive.
Phil in Sussex, England. I'm not convinced the Patriots can run the ball against good rush defenses. The last time they had a good rushing performance against a good run D was probably the Ravens last year. Playing against the Lions, Bills, Jets, etc., they struggled mightily. So if they can't run the ball effectively, I can't see them putting up a good number of points. Therefore, this game will come down to how well the Patriots D restricts the Seahawks offense. Obviously, the Seahawks offense is primarily about the running game, as we have to focus on shutting that down. And on Wilson, I would attack him and try to collapse the pocket. The Seahawks' O-line is an area of weakness. Rams have had success against Wilson by getting after him.
Yes.
If we play a contained game, eventually his receivers will get open. Hopefully Belichick will have some tricks up his sleeve and the team delivers its best performance of the season.
I agree with that. The Rams, that's exactly what the Rams have done.
But now, they have those outside guys.
I don't know if the Patriots have the pass rushers that the Rams do in their four-man line.
They're going to have to get creative to get to the quarterback like they did all season when they were able to get to the quarterback.
But I don't think that you can just sit back and play a contained game here. I don't either.
I don't want to see that for a third game. No, me neither.
Harry Balls in Maryland writes in, I work with Ravens and Steeler fans. I tried Fred's own it strategy at work, and it rocks. As I walked in this morning, they were discussing the deflated balls. I drove right in with arrogance. Yeah, we deflate our balls and win championships. What does your team do? They had nowhere to go. I win. Like the Raiders or the Pistons, we should own this. At Media Week, when they asked Brady about facing Sherman, he should say, that guy gets his hands on a lot of balls. He has had his hands on my balls. I don't like it when he grabs my balls. They are rather easy for him to handle since we make our balls softer than other teams' balls.
I'm getting tired of those
jokes. I'm mad,
too.
Bro. Sherman will jump on Twitter and contribute to the farce. You can be the object of ridicule or the leader of it. Let's lead.
And you can be a grown-up and just ignore it and not make stupid ball jokes.
Oh, have some fun,
no,
Eric.
But I mean, Eric is the one on the
I'm getting tired of it. I'm just getting tired of all of the low-hanging fruit here.
He's just having fun.
I know, along with 75 million other people who are telling stupid jokes.
There have been a lot of ball references.
I mean, come on.
Andrew from Cali. I've been listening to PFW for a couple years after finding Patriots.com radio via FF Champs.
The hate is real about Deflategate. Even out here in Southern Cal, wore my Pats gear on my college campus yesterday, got called a cheater plenty of times. I had the same response to all of them, go F yourself, as I proceed to flip double birds to them. Good, Andrew.
Good.
That's good.
That's embracing the hate.
I like it. Oh, Eric.
Eric's upset.
Come on.
I'm tired of this story. I really am.
I am mad, bro.
You're tired of the Deflategate story.
Yeah, I'm tired of it.
I am, but we all are.
But like we said, we're going to have to deal with it, right?
Well,
you're going to hear it all next week.
We have to because it's our job.
Right.
But fans, I should just ignore it.
And I'm glad that there have been a few calls sprinkled in about different matchups and different things going on with the game now.
Because it's a great game.
It's going to be a great game.
Well,
it's going to be a great game.
When was the last time you went into the Super Bowl not saying, oh, this should be a good matchup? Like, haven't you feel like there's been a lot of good matchups in the Super Bowl?
Well, going in, you thought, like, last year, it turned out to be a blowout.
I don't think anybody saw that coming, a blowout. I think a lot of people thought Seattle would win. A lot of people thought Denver would win.
I'm not sure a lot of people thought Seattle would win the Pittsburgh Super Bowl. I think most people thought that was Pittsburgh's to win.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but that goes back a long way.
Yeah. 2005. I'm just trying to think of some other ones that were.
I mean, no one thought the Patriots-Giants first one was going to be
a
good game. That was a double-digit favorite.
Right.
But lately, I think there have been a lot of really good, even matchups. The Green Bay-Pittsburgh one.
Yeah.
The San Francisco
even Arizona-Pittsburgh ended up being
Arizona-Pittsburgh. There was some good matchups in Super Bowl. But I hear a lot of people saying, we finally got a good matchup in the Super Bowl. Well, no, we finally got our team in the Super Bowl is what we finally have. I mean, it's been not that I say finally. It's only been since 2011. It hasn't been that long. But the way that Patriots fans sort of act, we haven't been there in so long.
And I think what they mean is they haven't won it in so long.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right.
Rick in Des Moines, Iowa writes in, love your show. Yesterday you received an email from a physics teacher up in Canada who did an experiment with his students regarding air pressure in footballs. Well, I'm a psychology teacher at a high school here in Des Moines, and I conducted a similar experiment with my students. What I did was this. I asked each student in my class to wear an NFL game jersey. 32 students in the class, so we had one jersey for each NFL team. I then had the students play a series of competitive board games, chess, checkers, backgammon, Monopoly, etc. I told them to log the results of who won and lost each game. Here's an interesting part. At the end of the class, the students wearing Colts, Jets, and Ravens jerseys complained that they had been treated unfairly. The student with the Colts jersey was the whiniest. She lost a game of checkers and complained that the other player was, quote, too physical with the checker pieces when jumping over her checkers. Afterwards, she strongly lobbied to put in a new non-contact rule to prevent other players from even touching her checker pieces. The Ravens student played a game of speed chess. He was constantly confused about which movements were eligible for the knight, rook, and bishop, and said he needed more time to think. You know where this is going.
Yes.
Right?
Now I'm with Eric, by the way.
I won't finish that one. Good premise, execution, not so good. Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to Harley in North Carolina.
Harley.
Hey, Harley.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in. I've been wanting to call in for a while. I've been working. But anyways, I don't leave to hear that y'all are tired of talking about this, but I'm kind of tired of hearing about it. This morning I was in the Dennis and Callahan, and they had two guys call in with actual matchup questions. They kind of laughed at them and kept talking about, the ball situation. And it's been pissing me off all day hearing about it. Anyways, I want to bring up something that happened Sunday that kind of made me mad. I was watching, the pregame specials and stuff on NFL Network, and they said they had a whole segment on the three great quarterbacks that were playing that day, and it was Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, and Rodgers, and they kind of left Brady out. It kind of is because, there's no respect. I think that's kind of what it is now. They don't want to see us here where we're at,
Yep.
They did a pregame package on the great quarterbacks playing in the championship games, and they didn't include Brady.
Does this make sense to anybody?
Sunday, and they're talking like a 30-minute
segment. Every once in a while, Fred has an attack of normalcy.
Rationality?
Does that make sense to anybody?
No.
That's what they did.
Right.
They didn't do that.
That's what happened. They talked about an hour, and they kind of pissed me off and rubbed me the wrong way. And the next morning, I wake up, and not even know the joy of a win. I have to deal with this really kind of.
Are you sure you didn't, the next day, wake up and realize it was all a dream?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
So they said that there was four quarterbacks playing in the conference championship games, and three of them were great.
And not
and
one.
Brady was
the
one,
one
who
that wasn't. I have a hard time believing
I
that.
Don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't. I didn't
Maybe
see
it was
it.
An hour and a half show, and the first hour was
it.
Brady, and you missed it.
Nah, it was. I was watching that whole morning.
All right. Well, they made a mistake then. If that's true, that's ridiculous.
More yards than two of those quarterbacks.
They hate us. Oh, God. All right. Thanks, Harley. Let's go to Jamie in Houston. Haven't talked to you in a while. What's up, Jamie?
Fred, are you okay?
I'm good.
All right. You're
I'm going to be better in a second because we're going to take a break. I'm going to have a Subway sandwich down here in the Subway Fresh Studios.
Yeah,
fresh.
Well, it's lunchtime. That's part of it. You got to have lunch. I want to talk about an actual football piece here real quick, and then I'll put my wisecrack very quickly at the end. But regarding this matchup, I think the Seattle matchup is better for us, and that's what I was kind of hoping for, as opposed to Green Bay with their offense. Green Bay, beat us in their house. We understand that. But, their weapons, their offensive weapons are just crazy. And they were killing us with Davante Adams. When we shut down Cobb and Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams still stepped up and, was abusing Logan Ryan and the other jabronis that were left to cover, the B and C players. And, whereas Seattle's offense, our defense stands up better. I mean, they don't have those thoroughbreds, and Russell Wilson is still shaky, and he can step up. He's shown he can step up and be great, but he can also not be great, as we just saw. So I think this matchup is more favorable. I was fearing that even with Aaron Rodgers in his, I'd rather have Rodgers in his bum calf than Wilson in the big game.
I have to be honest. When I was watching that game, I wasn't like, I wanted the Packers to win, but it wasn't because, I think we have a better chance of beating the Packers. I really wasn't, honestly.
What was the reason?
I just like the Packers better than the Seahawks, and I wanted to get revenge from the loss this year. But I really think that both teams are good, and if the Green Bay Packers had gone to the Super Bowl, like we said earlier, they would have done it just having beaten the Seahawks, which are really good.
It would have been a great either NFC champion makes for a great Super Bowl this year. I thought the Packers would have been a good matchup.
I mean, you can make the case very easily with even Rodgers at 80%, that offense is better than Seahawks offense, right?
Oh,
exactly.
That offense is a lot better than Seattle's offense.
Even with Rodgers at 80%.
But Seattle's defense is a lot better than Green Bay.
I agree with that. I'm just talking about the offense
now. But this is what I was telling you guys on Tuesday. I think Seattle's better than Green Bay, but I don't think it's as big a difference as the Patriots fans sort of whipped it up to be throughout the week.
Yeah, because they have dangerous people on that offense.
Patriots fans across the board were rooting for Green Bay as if they were rooting for their own team in that game, and they were mad when it went bad like it did at the end of the game. I don't think it would be a much easier road.
I don't either.
Yeah, but we're better equipped to attack that running game. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is the toughest runner going, and I understand that's a challenge for anyone, especially us. But I think we're better equipped, up front to contain that than our secondary. Even with Revis, Revis is the only stud we've got. Browner is half a liability half the time, and the other guys, I mean, forget about it. I mean, Chung's a retread, and so I'd rather deal with the primary run threat and contain Lynch and Wilson.
All right.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to have
Jamie.
To do.
Yeah.
No question about
it. All right,
it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you guys, how much would you be willing to sell out against the run for the Seahawks? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But, yes, but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No,
you got to make it.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
Going back to Arizona, where they slide that field out, right?
That's right. They do.
Yeah, they let the sun heat it up, and they bring it in.
Only bring it in for game time.
Yeah, now, trying to remember. Oh no, it was Houston where it got really.
The field
humid.
Was bad.
It got really humid.
It was really
the
hot.
Welker game.
It was really hot. No, well, the Houston Super Bowl.
I think that's what you're talking about.
But yeah, it got really hot that day.
Yeah, I don't think humidity was a problem in Arizona, as I recall.
No, that was a nice stadium.
Yeah.
I like. Is that the only time we were there? We didn't have any Cardinals game there, did
we?
No.
Nope.
Sun Devil Stadium was the last time.
Paulina writes in, gotta love Paul. Really, now we can just forget about the whole ball thingy and talk football.
No. I'm hoping to be able to do that, but I'm not naive enough to think that that's what's going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, don't you think it would be nice to be able to do that? But, I mean, we kind of can't. And there's press conferences going on. Brady's going to talk in an hour or so. Hour and a half.
This game is going to have great matchups nonetheless. I think the only two offensive weapons Seattle has will be Wilson and Lynch. Other than that, their offense is not out of this world. Patriots' offense has much more weapons. Brady, Edelman, Gronk, Gray, Blunt, Vereen.
Okay, can I stop for a second?
Yeah.
I agree with you about Seattle's weapons. I don't think they have a lot of them. But do you think that Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, and Luke Wilson are comparable to Jonas Gray, Julian Edelman, and Brandon LaFell?
Yes.
I do too.
Yeah, but they don't have Brady.
They don't have Gronk.
Right.
Gronk is the weapon. But don't say that we have better weapons. We have Gronk. They don't.
Defense is about the same, except for the running defense, which I think our defense will be able to stop Lynch in special teams. We have much better. So stop the balls talk and go Patriots. And P.S., tell Edelman he's the bestest. Okay? Let's go to... Dave in Newcastle, England. Hey, Dave. Good beer out there.
What are you laughing at?
Yeah, exactly. Hi, guys. Can you hear me first and foremost?
Oh, we can.
Yeah.
Yep. Great. Okay. Well,
just shout because you're all the way across the ocean. So.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Thanks for having me on. It's the first time I've actually called. I'm able to call because I actually broke my collarbone last week, so I've been leaving work a little early. So it's a real privilege to speak to you guys.
What'd you
do? I wanted to touch on, apologies that I've not actually been listening to the show, so I might be covering stuff you've already talked about. But just picking up on one of Paul's points from a couple of days ago, over here in England, the all of my friends who follow the NFL really have a dislike of the Seahawks. I don't think that can be actually underestimated. So the wide receivers, I think it goes without saying that are all clowns. Marshawn Lynch, obviously an idiot. And actually, I think that Russell Wilson, I think because he's so straight and letter of the law, that he actually comes across as, I think he grains on quite a few people. And for me personally, the whole crying thing the other day just really, really annoyed me. But yeah, there we go. And one of the points I just wanted to leave you guys, I'll just make the point and then leave you guys to it, was about the matchups. So I think you probably just touched on this, but I think obviously the Patriots' defense matches up pretty favorably on the outside. I think that for me, the guys probably should go man coverage. And I just wanted to get your guys' take on leaving Collins as a QB spy for basically the whole game. Just wanted your guys' opinion on that. And then just lastly, actually, before I go, just wanted to give a bit of a shout out to my friend Freddie, who's in Copenhagen. He actually got me into the show. I'm not even a Patriots fan, but you guys are so good. I actually listen in.
Thank you.
He's actually at the moment in Vietnam, and he watched. I know for a fact he watched the game. Got up at stupid o'clock in the morning, like 5 a.m. Wow. To watch it. Jeez. So I think he was slightly drunk whilst he was watching it, and being felt up by.
That war's over.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll leave you guys with that, really. It was just more about the game plan from the Pats. I think they probably should just go man on the outside.
I do think that.
I like man. Yeah. I like man on the outside.
I agree, Dave. Thanks for the call. I mean, you got to leave it. I think it, and I teased this before we went to the break. How much are you willing to sell out against the run? I think part of that is going man-to-man. Keeping as many people as possible to battle that run game.
Yeah, I think Chung is going to be down in the box a lot. And I do think you need to do that. You did tease it, Freddie, and you never got to it.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, Dave.
That's because he's not a professional.
I'm a little thrown off by the lunch. I'm a little disappointed.
Why? Yeah.
They started out so strong with the chicken
with
cutlet
that.
And all that stuff, and now, you know, we're down to the non-condiment Subway sandwiches.
Non-condiment.
Well, I mean, you know, these are dry.
But we don't want to.
Was it Dave from Newcastle?
Yes.
Also made the point about Collins spying on Wilson. I was talking with one of our colleagues about this in the locker room earlier, that maybe not a spy for the whole game, but I think if there's anybody who can maybe contain Wilson when a play breaks down and he's going to run around, I think it's Collins. I think that makes that makes some sense to have him at least be responsible for whenever that happens.
Yep. Scott in Des Moines. Originally, I was a little deflated by the news earlier this week, but now I'm past it. I embrace the jeering from others and am ready to move on to Seattle. I'm excited for the game. I hear a lot of Patriots fans talking about how we're going to kill the Seahawks, but I think this is going to be a very tight game. Win or lose, I want to see Gronk line up outside on Sherman and throw him out of the club. Are there any matchups against our defense with the Seattle wideouts or tight ends that could cause matchup problems for the Patriots or require another defender out of the box? The way I see it, our defensive backs and linebackers should have no problem with these pedestrian receivers, which should allow more bodies to stop the run.
I think on paper that would seem to be the case. I think you can get by matching man up.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that I don't have a ton of respect for Baldwin and Curse. I think they're average guys. What do you call them? Pedestrian. I agree with that. But they are sort of they're not traditional big outside guys that Browner matches up with.
Mm-hmm. And he has trouble with smaller guys.
Sometimes that can be a problem for Browner, mm-hmm. so that just might be something to keep an eye on. And also keep in mind that no one knows Browner better than Seattle.
And
Carroll, and they know how to probably attack a sort of a unique kind of cornerback, you know, with his size and whatnot. So just a possibility of something to worry about there. But I agree with most of the people who think that it all starts with Marshawn Lynch and containing him and Russell Wilson in the running game more so than
Absolutely.
The passing game.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to be a blowout.
No, I don't either.
No.
Either way.
Yeah, I don't either. I can't.
I mean, anything can happen in terms of turnovers,
well, sure.
and the game can get out of whack.
But I don't
envision that. No, I don't go in assuming that one team's going to turn it over five times like Seattle did last week.
Brian's in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
I don't want to talk about Deflategate. It's done. I want to move on if we can. I want to talk about football if we can. One thing that really struck out to me last weekend was Sherman and his injury. And it drove me bananas to watch Green Bay not throw on him. Like, why didn't they challenge him? The guy clearly was crippled.
Okay, but what if Green Bay thought, like Fred and Andy, that he was faking?
Do you think that?
I don't think that.
I don't think he was faking, but I think he was making more of it than it was.
So what if he was making more of it than it was?
Rodgers really is injured with his leg. I think he exaggerated too. But
who?
I mean, at least challenge
Rodgers.
You don't think Rodgers is really hurt with his leg?
I don't think he was that. I think he was very affected.
I mean, in the playoffs, he barely ran the ball.
Good. I think he was still just as good.
Oh, I don't.
Okay. Well,
I don't think he ran at all, Brian.
Talk about Sherman, though. Like, why wouldn't you challenge him at least?
I was saying the same thing.
But I'm giving you an example as to maybe why. I mean, Fred and Andy don't think he was hurt that bad. Maybe Aaron Rodgers didn't think he was hurt that bad, too, so he wanted to be smart. I would have tested him. I would have tested him, Brian, absolutely. But maybe that's what they were thinking. I mean, Fred and Andy think he was faking. Maybe Rodgers thought he was faking.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if I think
maybe because Rodgers
faking,
was faking, he assumed
I'd
he
be
was
like,
faking.
Prove it.
Maybe.
So I want to target him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they should test him. Sure. Earl Thomas,
I mean,
too.
If he makes a play, okay, then don't go to him again. But I want to see if he can actually make a play, because I would assume for a cornerback to have a bad arm, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't. I don't think it's that big a deal. It looked to me like a hyperextended elbow, and I think you probably have some sort of brace on it in the game, and I think he'll be able to play fine as long as he can run.
His mommy will give it a kissy, and he'll be good.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, Brian, right there. Fred doesn't think he's hurt at all.
Yeah, give me a little kissy and some Campbell's soup.
See?
Okay.
That's the mentality you're dealing with, Brian. What do you want me to tell you?
No, like I said,
of course,
if it was a Patriot, we'd give him the purple heart for being able to make it through the game without missing a play.
We don't show pain.
No, we just missed the game.
We don't show pain.
Brian Stork just didn't play in the game.
Right. That's right. We don't make a big deal about it. All right. Thanks, Brian. All right. Let's go to
a big deal now. We talked about it the whole week going into the Colts game. We talked about Brian Stork not playing.
But now we didn't
make a big deal about it.
RC in Iowa.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Hey, first-time caller. I actually found out about your show a couple weeks ago when I downloaded the Patriots app, and I got a notification on my phone that you guys were going to be doing a radio show, so I checked out, and I've been listening ever since.
Hey, those notifications work. All right.
No doubt. Awesome, huh? But anyways, I just got a couple questions. Do you guys think that LeGarrette Blount or Jonas Gray is going to get most of the carries? And do you
LeGarrette
think
Blount.
Play,
yeah.
And do you think it's going to be crucial to get the play action going to win the game?
Well, a lot of their passing game is predicated off of play action. And in order for play action to work, you have to be able to run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
So, they do need to run the ball, and I think Blount has proven that he's going to be the guy that they trust more.
Yeah, he should be the primary carrier.
Whoa, wait, what?
He should be. I've never said that.
Am I hearing the right thing?
He's never said that.
I've always said that. All I want to do is give Gray a chance. That's
except
all.
Except for when he cries in the middle of the game.
He yells at Paul.
Do you think Jonas Gray might have another breakout game like he did against Indy?
No.
Not unless he's force-fed the ball because something happens to Blount.
Even if he's force-fed it, he's not going to have a breakout
game. He's not
going to
have a breakout game. I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Not against this defense.
Okay, thanks, RC. Let's go to Billy in Tennessee. Hey, Billy.
Oh, Billy.
Yes. I was coming from a back engineering background, and I wanted to make a comment about the fluid mechanics involved in the air difference in pressure.
Okay, is this PS equals V and
volume
for the first power
and pressure with a change in temperature.
Okay,
so if the ball when it was checked and the results showing a decrease in the pressure, if they filled the balls in a heated room. And if the air coming from the air compressor was warm,
right.
Then when they took the ball out into the outside and it cooled, the volume of the air and the pressure of the air would decrease.
That's correct. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It would not be unreasonable to think that it would decrease by two pounds per square inch.
Right. Do you think all the footballs would have the same impact? The impact
yes,
of the same?
If they're made of the same material and of the
right.
same size.
So there's a report, and again, we don't know if any of these reports are accurate, but there's a report that the Indianapolis Colts footballs did not change significantly.
But what if their balls weren't filled with the same warm air?
Yeah, well, the main point that I'm making is that when they checked it, it would have to be checked under the same temperature conditions.
All the balls are checked at the same time.
Yeah.
So they're all checked under the same conditions.
Yeah, but it would have to be, like, they filled them inside in a heated room, and then they took them outside and measured the temperature after they took them outside. It could be a difference from what.
Okay, but what I'm saying is they all the balls were tested under the same conditions, and the Colts balls didn't change significantly. The Patriots balls did. Again, we don't know if any of this stuff is true. It might all be a bunch of crap. It might be, as Fred says, a witch hunt, and we just don't have all the information. But based on the information that we've gotten through various reports, that doesn't necessarily the weather
and
Billy, situation doesn't hold
Billy,
water.
Billy, what you're saying is fact. And it's why Bill Belichick said from now on we're not going to push the envelope. We're not going to fill it at 12.5. We're going to fill it higher. So when it does decrease, if it decreases, we'll still be in the range.
And the Patriots would not be accused of wrongdoing if they checked out 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game properly if they didn't think that there was something that happened to the balls in between. Now, again, I'm with Fred on this. I see no proof. I see no reason to do anything.
And fluid mechanics.
Right. Well, what do you think, Billy, of filling the balls with nitrogen? Would that help lessen the variance?
Why do you got to be like that?
I'm serious. Nitrogen instead of oxygen.
Who knows what they have in that vinatieri snowball kick?
Liquids are not compressible. So any kind of a gas that you would have would be compressible, and it would change in volume and temperature.
But I thought nitrogen has less variance. Like, a lot of people fill their tires these days with nitrogen.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, well, that's a good example of how the temperature can drop with a drop in temperature.
Right, but we're talking about more mass there with tires, also with more pressure on the tire.
Hard tires,
yeah.
Because of the cooler temperature, drops the air pressure.
Yep. All right,
okay,
Billy.
That's what I wanted to put my 2 cents worth in.
Thank you, Billy.
I appreciate that.
Okay. Thanks, Billy.
Let's go to Justin.
A lot of weather talk.
Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm not going to bring up the whole deflate game. I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl. But as for the Seattle's offense, I think people are underrating it a little bit. I don't think they have the best wide receiving cast. I think Russell Wilson's a little better than people are selling him. I thought the NFC Championship was very uncharacteristic of him. I don't think he's a guy that throws a lot of picks. I always thought he was a really good game manager. And I thought that people underrate his speed and his awareness, but when they see it, they have a different impression of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Does things that,
I think that makes a lot of sense.
You change your impression of them. And I think Doug Baldwin is a little underrated also. I don't think he's that much worse than Julian Edelman. I really don't.
I don't think he's worse than Julian Edelman at all. I think if Baldwin was playing on the Patriots, he'd probably have Julian Edelman-type numbers because Brady is that much better than Russell Wilson. And it's a whole different offense.
Yeah. And
so
also,
I sort of agree with you on that. I don't think the Seahawks offense is great, but I also don't think it's substantially worse. I mean, Gronkowski and Brady would separate the two offenses. Seattle does not have dynamic presence at those positions like the Patriots do.
But at the end of the day, I think they're going to score about 30 points. I think we're going to score probably a little over than 30, somewhere between 31 and 35.
Pick the over, huh?
Yeah, I really don't see that kind of
thing. The number's 48. Okay, thanks, Justin.
48, and Eric likes the over on that.
Yeah,
you said earlier.
I do.
Nick in Sacramento. To me, Seattle is the playground bully who gets weak knees when someone actually hits him. They are chock full of talent, young talent, yes. They've won a Super Bowl, but I don't buy the hype. From watching most games against them, except for division games, teams tend to wait for the punch and try to withstand it, being tentative or cautious. The teams that aren't afraid of them, like the Rams, Niners, and Cardinals, attack them first and if they have the talent, seem to always at least be in the game. The Patriots have the confidence to attack first and have the talent to back it up. Patriots will only lose if they beat themselves. Nick is a previous Needham resident for his first 23 years, and now he's 52 years old.
But does anybody really think that the Patriots can't compete?
No.
I mean, he's saying that the teams in the division always give them a good game. Well, I don't think anybody's suggesting that it won't be a good game. I don't think anybody looks at Seattle like, you can't play with them.
Yeah.
First of all, just by the nature that they play, they blow you out a lot like the 2003 team used to. They'll get a lead, and the game's over. That's how they blow you out. They win 20-7. They're not going to score 40 points unless it's like last year with Denver, and it's just a mess of
turnovers and
safeties and turnovers and all kinds of crap. But if you play a good game against Seattle, they're not going to blow you out. They're going to play a regular game and hope that their defense wins it. That's how they play.
Right.
But I don't really look at it as anybody saying that the Patriots can't compete with them.
No. I haven't heard
anybody saying that. I don't know where the hype is on that.
Gary's in Florida. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great to hear you guys.
Okay.
I'm surprised they still leave you on the radio after all this controversy.
You think they take us off because we get in trouble?
Sure, because you're the most controversial people in the world.
Oh, wow.
I'm a diehard Patriots fan, and I live in China.
But, so you're not in Florida?
Well, I'm in Florida right now, but I live in China. So I'm just visiting, yeah.
Whereabouts in China?
Nanning.
Oh, do you know Shang Tsung?
I know, but no, I can't say that on the radio.
Okay.
One of your previous callers upshotted me on the pressure differentiation when you fill them in a heated room and you move them outside where it's snowing. And the one part he forgot to add to that, if you gronk it, it even makes it worse.
Sure, absolutely. Actually, Conan.
The chuckle.
You know Conan O'Brien? He did a nice, funny bit last night about proof that the Patriots do deflate the balls, and he had video of Gronk and Brady spiking the ball and the ball just going flat on the ground. It was hysterical.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's on the internets, if you can find it.
The interwebs.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. I watched the Bills thing with talking about the balls anyway, and he seemed to allude to the fact that they do fill them to 12.5 pounds, and he said in the future we're not going to do that, and then he went on to give the example, you know, if you fill one to 13.5 and it loses X amount, then it's still okay, but I'm pretty sure he said that we fill ours to 12.5.
Right, he did say that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that Tom is going to confirm that at his 4 o'clock.
Probably, yeah. We'll see 3:45 on Patriots.com. The world will be watching. Thanks, Gary, and say hello to Xing Zhao for me. Mark Moran writes in, nitrogen is used in tires because it's easier to keep water out of nitrogen than regular air, and so dry rotting of the tire is diminished. Nitrogen still reacts the same to temperature, lower temp, lower pressure. So it wouldn't help with footballs to put nitrogen in there.
All right.
Awesome.
Let's go to Sean.
Tack another one on.
Yeah.
Sean in Ireland. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Are you ready for the Super Bowl?
You know it. Well, you know what? I'll be ready more next week when we're there.
Maybe when it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, Jersey. We've a bad book. There's 60 of us meeting up, so it should be a good night.
Okay.
So, I was bringing to talk about more of the Super Bowl than anything else. I'm sick of listening to the thing, to tell you the truth. The Seattle secondary, I think we match up pretty well with them because I think Sherman's a good corner, but I think he's very like lead in a sense. He matches up better with taller corners than he would with small, shiftier corners.
Yeah.
I think Edelman would do a good enough job on him.
Here's the thing about Sherman, though. Everyone says, oh, he only plays one side of the field and he can't do this. Why aren't teams taking more advantage of these so-called weaknesses then, week in and week out? To me, they probably aren't weaknesses. You know, they probably he's that good where he really doesn't have that many holes in his game as people are saying.
Right. We're also assuming
that Seattle is going to do exactly what they've always done and that they're not going to make any sort of adjustments in the Super Bowl against Brady.
Right.
Against the Patriots. It is conceivable that maybe they do switch him around to take advantage of a matchup. I mean,
it's
possible.
I doubt it, but it's possible.
Yeah, but I don't want to completely dismiss the fact that they might, you know, game plan for this game.
But, I would look at it as most teams are going to try to get the matchup they want on Sherman because they know he goes to the right side.
Yeah.
So if you think Edelman gives you a better chance to complete passes on Sherman, then you're going to waste Edelman all day going against Sherman?
Yeah.
He might beat Sherman a few times, but Sherman's going to probably win some of those too.
Mm-hmm.
And then LaFell is on the other side. Or do you just say, we'll put LaFell over there? Or what do you, you know,
then
you do?
Then you're dictating how you want to run. Exactly. You're letting that defense dictate how you run your offense, and I don't think they want to do that.
I don't think they do either. Now, they'll definitely have matchups that they like. And my guess is they'll throw more passes at Byron Maxwell than they will at Richard Sherman.
Probably.
Just my guess.
Yeah. Even with one elbow or half an elbow.
No, but he has no injury at all, according to Fred and Andy.
And Chancellor, too, he's gone for surgery at the end of the season. But I still think he's probably the best safety in the league to match up with Gronk. No, you can't match Gronk, but I'd say he's doing the best job of the safeties in the league.
Yeah, and I also have been a little concerned with Gronk's decreased production of late. I think he's run down. Mm. I think he's dealing with some stuff physically. Now, obviously, the Super Bowl is a different game. You can give it all up for one game.
See what you got. And he will. I think he will.
All right, thanks, Sean. That's Sean from Ireland. Josh in Virginia. Hey,
big
Josh.
Big in the UK today, huh?
Yeah.
Happening, gentlemen.
Hey,
I want to know why everybody's talking about the Patriots, quote-unquote, cheating with the ball pressure when every QB dodges the ball. Yet no one's talking about that borderline illegal six-man wedge onside kick that Seattle had, which actually affected the outcome of the game. Now, I looked into this, and the rule states clearly that you must have at least four players lined up on either side of the ball during kickoff. However, it gets a little hazy around being able to bunch six people up into a wedge formation on one side for an onside kick.
I saw that people were throwing around stills on the internet about that formation. I don't know.
Does it come down to a penalty was missed?
Think about it, and of course the league declaring it.
But is that what it comes down to, that there was a penalty missed?
The referee's missed a call. Paul's not going to be surprised if the refs missed a penalty.
I mean, really, a referee missed a call. I can't believe it. I mean, that's what happens every game. Every single game, referees miss calls.
Yep.
I mean, do we think that's cheating, that the refs missed a call?
No, you're not saying it's cheating, Josh, are you?
No, not quite. I say borderline illegal, almost maybe unethical. My question to you guys is, if it was the Patriots doing that and people made a big stink about it,
then it would be cheating. You're right.
I don't know.
Right.
I seem to think it went away in a hurry when they had the thing with Dante Hightower blocking the field goal.
They call legal formations for the Patriots.
How fast did
cheating?
That go away?
You know,
12 hours?
Yeah, I get it, Josh. I'm with you there.
And then the NFL said that the alignment
Patriots,
for the Patriots blocking the field goal was proper, correct?
If the Patriots did it, it's cheating.
And it went away immediately, right?
What's that?
When Dante Hightower was supposedly moved back by the referee against on that field goal block.
Yep.
And and Dean Blandino came out and said specifically, there is nothing improper about this technique. It's common.
Yep.
And it went away immediately.
That's right.
So don't make it out to be a Patriots hate thing.
It
immediately went away.
It took the league to have to come to our defense.
And that's what happened, you just said, with Seattle.
Josh, I don't know what happened. I just said that.
The league said it was okay.
No, I didn't know that. He might have said it.
I think you said.
I just said I saw it passed around on the internet. I don't know what the deal was.
I mean, I think it's different to miss a penalty. There's five pass interferences missed every game. Where guys get hit before the ball gets
for another decade, or do you know, have as much success with the Patriots? They're going to be a bunch of Hawks haters out there one day.
Exactly.
Won't go so unnoticed.
And believe me, there are a lot of Hawks haters out there now, too. I agree with
you. Yep, I'm one of them.
Yeah, okay. I hate the Hawks, too.
I don't hate them because I like Pete.
No, because Fred likes Pete. He likes cheaters.
Oh, come on now. Wow.
Pete's a cheater.
Paul's just like the shotgun.
He's a two-time. He's a two-time cheater. He cheated in college and the pros.
I don't think he cheated. One more call. And then we'll get
I have nothing. I have nothing to respond with that. Yeah, I mean, he actually had to vacate stuff. I don't think he's a cheater.
It wasn't his fault. Dan's in Arizona. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say, I remember the last time I called. I told everybody it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. And it's going to be all right. You know, I'm not worried about these false allegations dealing with the squad. And
well, how do you know they're false?
Talking.
They are.
Because Fred said so.
We are going Seahawks hunting. So.
How do you know they're false?
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Let's just say allegations.
Yeah, allegations.
What's going on there, Dan?
Well, right now I'm at Scottsdale, Arizona. It's very sunny out here.
Yeah.
How warm? Am I bringing shorts, Dan?
Yeah.
Y'all bringing shorts, y'all bringing tank tops. Y'all
I don't wear
view.
Tank tops. I'm 46. Oh,
okay. But y'all got the view out here, and it's a great look. It's a great look out here.
My 9-year-old son is coming. He might wear a tank top, but I'm 46. Oh, yeah. I've long since passed the days where I
He's gonna have a blast.
Would find that
He's
an appropriate attire. And he probably wears tank tops because
Shaq
likes
O'Neal
to he fancies himself as in
he
shape.
He wears his Shaq tank top.
I lift these up and put them down.
But I could definitely bring shorts, though, right?
Good, absolutely. All bring
right.
as many pairs of shorts and flip-flops and whatnot.
I looked at the forecast 70s during the day.
Yeah,
because it was
much.
Cold there the last time. Remember?
It was, but it was unseasonable. Yeah. It was, we came.
Well, that's like the time we were in. Were
in
the
deluge.
Were you with us in San Diego in that divisional round in 06?
No.
You know, you didn't go back that far. Remember how cold
no, no,
it was
I was
there?
Here, but I wasn't traveling that
You got day. Anything else, Dan?
Well, hey, I'm
that
just going to say
cold,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like literally in the 30s.
We are going Seahawk hunting in a few weeks. Well, actually, in a few days, and it's going to be nice.
I get it. Nice. We're going to be shooting some bird.
Embrace the
All
hate.
Right, thanks, Dan. John's here. Hey, John.
Fred.
Did you watch Bill's press conference this morning?
Of course.
What'd you think?
I don't even really know what to think. I'll be honest. I just don't. Right. If he's totally and completely on the level and he did not know anything, then I think this is a horrible persecution. If, you know, there's some stuff that's been shoveled under the rug, so to speak, then I think there will be utter hell to pay. So I'm kind of caught in between. I don't know that we're ever going to find the answer to this.
That's where I am.
I don't think we're ever going to find the answer to this. And so I think, you know, it's already turned into a witch hunt. And if today's press conference wasn't an example of that with over 100 media members here for this. And
130.
Then, 130 media members. I lost count.
I think it was the biggest press conference that we've ever had. And I think it was bigger than
Hernandez. 07?
Bigger than Hernandez. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone, you know, allegedly murdered somebody, and that was the reaction to that.
Right.
And so if we're bringing 2 pounds of pressure in a football up to that level, consider how stupid this really is.
It's time to move on. Yeah.
It's time to move on.
Yep. That's what I've been saying.
Yep.
It really, really is. Now, I undoubtedly know that, you know, we're not going to be able to move on until the NFL tells us to move on. Or
so they come with a ruling. Until
you know, so the media tells us to move on.
Here's the thing that concerns me, I think, the most. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. The media has to tell us to move on, and it becomes a non-story. There was just a tweet less than 20 minutes ago from NBC's Peter Alexander, who I think was one of the reporters that was here.
I saw that.
Did you
yeah.
see the tweet?
I did, yeah.
Said that Tom Brady met with his teammates a short while ago. Top of the team meeting to address his team about all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder where he got that from.
Probably one of the players in the locker room earlier.
Maybe.
So
how come you didn't get that?
That beg, but it,
I was
I
trying
talk
to
talk to anybody.
I was trying to focus on other
it begs,
stories.
It begs the question: what is he giving them the heads up for?
Right. That's what I'm going to say.
And exactly. So he doesn't want them to get blindsided by anything
he might say.
He might
have also apologized and said, "You know, I'm sorry that my preference for footballs is ruined."
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. But there may be some sort of mea culpa coming at 3:45 our time.
Yeah, you got to stay tuned for that.
Oh.
Yeah, that would certainly seem to be the Belichick press conference seemed to be the first step in. The Brady mea
right.
culpa.
This may very well be him having to just own up and take the sword, fall on the sword.
Yeah, but all the sword could be is I like the balls on the soft side, and these were too soft.
Yep. And really,
that's
I understand.
It.
That's it. That could be it. And then that's why this whole thing is kind of like, that's it? It's because the media has blown this way up and beyond. They've put people's professional integrity and personal integrity on the line here.
This is Area 51 stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just shows you how maddening and how ridiculous in this day and age things can get out of hand without any kind of, you know, real, you know, fact-finding done beforehand. This is why, you know, social media sometimes is your best friend and it's also your worst enemy.
Je suis Belichick.
Oh, my God.
All right. John's
I won't touch that. Thank you.
Paul's sick, but he's got this look on his face.
But I am
like,
really sick.
I got to get out of here.
I am sick.
All right. Playbook
I'm
next.
I'm battling.
And that's it, right? Oh, no. The fantasy's
the
at
fantasies
four.
The fantasies are at four.
What do they talk about with fantasies?
I don't know. What
talk about fantasies,
Paul. What do they talk about?
They have the daily fantasy stuff.
What's going on? There's
teams?
No game this week.
I don't know.
All right. Wow. They can talk about other sports. All right. We will see you next Tuesday in Arizona. See you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.